please don't take this person out. Would you politely go to hell? Get the fuck out of my way, cause it's been one of those days.
Come on, boiler room.
Yeah, we're fucked up. Oh, the wrong door.
Yeah, somehow the apes are back.
Honk, 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 honk.
I have a month's worth of beans.
Makes me want to ride an escalator at a mall.
All we ever do is mention things.
Right out of the box, I'm having fun.
Mad at a room.
Live, on tape, it's the fastest hour in podcasting. This is Never Not Funny. Now, here's your host, Jimmy Pardo.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the program, 35P of the award-winning podcast. Never Not Funny. The P stands for podcast, the P stands for Pardo, the P stands for Preble. We got it right here in Priver City. I'm just going to do everything with a P. That's my thing today. It's over. That thing's over. We welcome you into the program as we do each and, I guess twice a week, sometimes three times a week, every now and then once a week, depending on if the holidays are coming up. You might only get one episode per week. I don't know how it's working. We're going to figure it out. Here we are on December the, I'm going to throw a date out there. 12th? Yeah, got it. Got it. You did it, boss. December 12th. 12-12. 24.
Ooh.
What is 12 and 12 add up to? 24.
I don't do
so
that.
Some fucking weirdo right now is talking about how today is 12-12-24, and then 24 and 24 is 48. So what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
So some weirdo is trying to tell you that all those align, along with the moon being three-quarter, and then what's going down, man? The tide is high. Blondie, we all learned something. What could you possibly have to add to this?
Nothing.
You're looking at me like you have something.
Prevagen.
Nope. That's
me. For Prevagen.
Oh, all right, that's fair. We got to build you back up. We got to build up.
I was not looking at you. I was actually paying attention.
I recognize that, but again, it's where you've chosen to put the camera makes me have more eye contact with you than anybody else. And then I don't know if you're just listening like a normal person would be. In fairness to you,
yeah.
Oh, my boss, the star of the show, is talking.
Uh-huh.
I should look at him and nod and listen. Or are you doing the the Mike Schmidt? Please stop talking so I can interrupt.
Normally, I look at you here.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that more.
Every once in a while, I'll glance over.
Let's keep eyes on monitors.
But, you know, you just happen to look at. But I will go, like, you can tell.
That's why this was confusing. It looked like you had something to say.
Yeah.
And in fairness, the topic of wackadoo, let's add numbers up, conspiracy thing, is right up your alley.
Mm-hmm. Is it up my alley?
It's not him. He's not wackadoo, add numbers up. He's wackadoo. I read something on Reddit that says that Martians are in Van Nuys. And then he reports it to us. That's him.
I do have a friend who actually was a guest in this program, and I will say no more because I don't want to out them. But they believed in, like, for a little while, in the 11-11 cult. So there was a thing where
my memory what that means.
It's hard to... Basically, there was some mystical thing about the number 11, which I happen to... That's my favorite number. So I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I was like, oh, no. But, like, they were going to go... I don't know if they actually went, but they were going to go to Egypt to, like, form two lines. Because 11...
I understand.
On, I guess, 11, November 11? Yeah.
And they did not go.
I don't think they did.
And they were a guest on this program.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to say.
They were a guest or they were where you're seated?
They were a guest.
Okay. All right. So that means Joseph Limbaugh is off the hook.
That's correct. It's not Joseph Limbaugh.
But there aren't that many people who have been on the show that he is friends with outside of being here.
But there's at least a half a dozen, so I think that gives enough.
Yeah, you're covered. But.
And I think friend's a heavy word on this. So we need to figure out... well, we'll do it off the air, and it'll be fun to do off the air.
Yeah.
Matt, of course, is part of the 9/11 cult. You know that, where he believes that was an inside job.
Sure.
And I'm part of the 7/11 cult, where I've got an app on my phone that gets me points so that when I collect 1,000, I get a dollar off or something.
Mm-hmm.
It really seems like a lot of work for me to pull my phone out and have them scan it for me to get that little off.
Yeah.
Or, hey, you got a discount. You want to use it? It's like, or do you want to keep collecting points? Well, if I keep collecting points, I don't get more for it. It just means I'm collecting more.
Yeah.
Oh, now instead of a dollar off, you get $3 off.
But it all is a unless you get to a point where it's like the savings are greater because you waited longer. But I don't know.
I don't see any evidence that's the case.
Okay.
So now when I get there, they say you get a dollar off. You want it? I just say yeah. And then then it goes back to zero. And then that's it. It's here's where I get a little uncomfortable. And I'm exaggerating for humor. And humor is in quotes. When I'm back down to zero and I scan it and they go and then the screen shows up. Welcome, Jim. You have 11 points.
Yeah.
The guy next to me could see that. And he's like, this guy fucking whips his phone out for 11 points. Whereas he doesn't know that at one point I had thousands.
Yeah.
Because I thought I'd collect.
That's why you need to wear the gear so he knows you cashed in.
I'm not buying. I'm not trading it for 7-Eleven gear.
I got the 7-Eleven windbreaker.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? Although maybe somebody wants the hat. I don't know. You want a 7-Eleven hat? I mean, I don't, but somebody, some Chris Fairbanksy type guy might want a 7-Eleven hat.
Mm-hmm.
Truckers, you know, kind of a Van Dutch.
Like an ironic.
Yeah. Right? He could pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That new mobster look he's going with, that new guy that's trying to sell you furs off the back of a truck look he's going with,
mm-hmm.
where he looks great.
Yeah.
Fits his personality wonderfully, but. You know, he's got, white pants and a bright green shirt and a jacket over it. Looks like you hear my lips smacking together? You probably do, right? Because of the lack of moisture in my mouth. Thank you, Garen. Thank you, Garen. Look at Garen go. Look at him go. No, seriously, look at him go.
I'm watching. Hate to see him leave, but I love to watch him go.
I know.
There's no time to question. There's no time to think. His hummingbird energy is starting to sink. His questionable sanity stands at the brink. Jimmy requires a monster drink.
We thank Doc Julin for the tune. We thank Garen Cockrell for the beverage. Thank you, Garen. We thank Monster. I guess, is it Pepsi? Is it PepsiCo? Who distributes this?
I don't know.
Because it used to be an independent company, I thought. But maybe it's now.
Is this PepsiCo?
It's got to be part of some big thing.
I can't see my...
So popular, it must have been bought up.
My eyes have seen the glory. You know that, coming of the Lord. Are those the words?
Yeah.
My eyes have seen the glory. It's Coca-Cola. It's not PepsiCo?
Oh, it says Coke on Google.
Well, I believe you.
Wait, distributed by several companies.
Oh.
Including Coke, Coca-Cola, Swire Coca-Cola.
Oh, Swire's in on this?
And then other places.
Is that a new flavor for you? I've never seen that one.
Well, Garen bought a collection of them at one point.
Mm-hmm.
This is Ultra Peachy Keen. Tastes like peach. Delicious.
Oh, okay.
It's not like that guava shit. Remember that guava shit?
Yeah, that was weird.
This is Peachy Keen. This is good. I like the peach. I like the peach. I like the watermelon. I like the bright green. Those are my three favorites.
Using the kind of cheeky name of you know, trying to get cute with the name of the flavor doesn't match with their image as like, we're fucking BMX, we'll fucking rip your face off with our sodas or whatever.
Peachy Keen!
Yeah, it's like, hey, this is Peachy Keen.
Yeah, Strawberry Dream is another one.
Yeah, I don't get it.
No.
They're confused. Lost the plot.
Yeah, I think they, maybe they regret trying to just focus on the BMX or monster truck market.
Maybe they could, like, redo their logo and or like keep that for the like crazy ones, but like have a variant that's like a little softer because that is aggressive. We can agree that the
monster logo,
the logo's aggressive.
I know some folks that had that as a tattoo, that monster logo.
Oh yeah. Boy.
That by the way, I don't know them. I've seen people.
You've seen it. Yeah.
And what's the one crazy woman that says that that's this is something that's a conspiracy thing?
666. Yeah. That's the Mark of the Beast. Yeah. She's a lunatic.
It's a,
yeah, but you still subscribe to her Substack, right, Garen?
Of course.
Yeah, good. Just want to make sure.
Garen, have you heard the new...
Everyone needs to make a living.
Like to support the arts.
Do you know about... I forget the guy's name now, but this is my new favorite conspiracy theory. There's this guy, apparently back in the 90s or the early 2000s, he developed a software that basically combs the internet. Garen's already nodding.
Yeah.
You know this guy? It combs the internet and basically, like... for lack of a better term, takes the temperature of the way people are talking. Like, it's like, oh, there's a lot of like people are agitated right now because of the words people are using on social media. Like that feels like people are whatever. It basically, and then it takes all of that data and he sort of developed this algorithm that then supposedly predicts major events. And he claims that he predicted 9/11. He claims that he predicted the assassination attempt on Donald Trump in the summer. and a tsunami in Indonesia, maybe. And then I think he missed like 5,000, you know, like, there's like 5,000 misses and three hits. So of course it's totally above board. But this guy claims that like 15 years ago, the algorithm said that in November of 2024, Joe Rogan would interview the eventual presidential winner. And then 39 days after that would be basically what he was calling like sort of like a turning point in society where we go into what he calls sci-fi world, where aliens reveal themselves and alien technology sort of becomes part, like we find out that exists and it's here. And he used the word melee, which I don't know what that meant. Like there was going to be a melee, like
hand-to-hand combat in the streets. Sounds
basically
like
the beginning of like a war with aliens or something. But then other people were like, no, he was just saying the reaction to that knowledge would cause strife and conflict. And he has, this guy's in on the deep state stuff. So he was saying like maybe the melee was just within the deep state, like, something major would happen there. But anyway, that was December 5th. 39 days after Joe Rogan interviewed Donald Trump was December 5th.
Okay.
And so on December 5th, everybody was like, here we go. And obviously nothing happened. But then, of course, the story was, well, no, it's not on December 5th. That's just the beginning of a new era we will eventually see that was the turning point. But it's not necessarily going to be apparent to the public right away or something.
Well, there was a thing that people have said, well, if Donald Trump found out there were aliens, he would just accidentally tell us.
Which is why we have to assume that there aren't, because he would have done that between 2016 and 2020. Right.
But maybe it was kept away from him by the adults in the room last time.
Right.
Maybe now there won't be adults
in the
room.
AKA the deep state.
There you go.
Well, yeah, we'll find out this time if that's the case. That Kash Patel will tell him in a heartbeat.
There you go.
Right, as he tries to zone in on something. he got hurt in some jokes on SNL over the weekend.
Yeah,
right?
He did.
Wasn't over there with the...
Everybody had their turn taking a whack at that one picture of him.
Yeah,
that's
just
crazy.
A great picture.
He's not a great guy, but... Yeah. That's not entirely fair.
One of them, I forget who it was, but and you're going to hate the wording here, but I still like the joke. It's like Kash Patel seen here realizing it wasn't just a fart.
Yeah, you're right. I don't like that joke, but
it is funny because the picture does exactly look like it.
Was that that had to be SNL?
Maybe it was SNL. I thought it was Seth Meyers, but I can't remember.
No, it was not. I would have. I did not see that.
Okay.
It was something I watched.
Okay. Very good.
So we wish all joke writers well.
Yep.
And then we have not talked about this because I don't know anything about it. I'm seeing. Hang on. I'm getting what I can only assume is a very important phone call. Oh, I do actually have to take this. Please go.
Hello.
Garen, that is very accurate. You do still suck.
Funny every time.
Answer, by the way, doctor. That was a doctor to give you the answer on that for the listener. And it was just confirming an appointment for tomorrow. I would not have picked up. I thought it was a different doctor who I am waiting to hear from. I would not have picked up on just a hey call and to confirm your 10 o'clock for tomorrow. Tomorrow's 10 o'clock, by the way. Third root canal in a month. That's what's happening tomorrow. And Matt's aware of this information. You two are not. Mm-hmm. Two appointments ago with the woman that's doing my root canal tomorrow, because I got sent to a root canal specialist because we could not figure out which. Here's the good. The good news is this. Here's the good news.
Oh boy.
The good news is. So I go in for mouth pain, and saying, hey, I think it's this number. What ends up being the number 14 molar. I think it's number 14, and they do all this testing, and they go, no, it's actually number 13 that seems to be causing the pain. Let's do the root canal there. And they do the root canal there, and it's like, and he goes, oh, yeah, those you had pulp in there. It's not good. We found it. A week goes by. No, it didn't. I still think it's that number 14. Let's test. And I even say, but I wouldn't argue with you if you told me it was the lower left molar. And then they do some testing, and they go, yeah, you know what? We probably think it is the lower left, and you're getting referred pain up to the top. They do the lower thing, and there's still pain. But the good news is, hey, we went in there, and you would have needed a root canal anyway. There was a crack in there that would have, your tooth would have shattered. In fact, it's pretty shocking that it hasn't already. So then there's still pain. And he's like, you know what? I got to refer you to this. I can't find it. Even though they've done x-rays and CAT scans and they've done everything, I'm going to send you the root canal specialist. Okay, great. So I go to see her, and she's testing. And then she goes, okay, bite down here. And I said, I think I just broke whatever you had me bite down on. She goes, well, it's just a Q-tip. It's no big deal if you do. I go, seems sharper than a Q-tip. And she goes, well, Kim, she pulls it out. She goes, yeah, it's not the Q-tip. I go, well, what do you think it is? I reach in, a crown. I shattered a crown. Broke a crown in half.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So
how did she not see that? Like, why was that on you to discover? Like, isn't she in your mouth?
No, because when you're biting.
Yeah. Okay.
You're giving feedback to.
Yeah. You're.
But she's right there, right?
No, she's here.
It's a mouth, Matt. Okay.
Yeah, my mouth is closed.
But you're not. She's looking at your mouth. You're just.
Not when you're chewing.
It's a closed mouth.
It's a closed mouth.
But once you said, hey, I think something. Didn't you open it and go, hey, I think I broke something? I'm just saying.
At this point, I'm on board with you.
Yeah.
Earlier, I was not.
Okay.
Yes. You would think at that point,
yeah,
because like, then when you see
she's the expert.
When you see that, when I pull out the chunk that I pull out, like, yeah. How do you not see this? Although maybe it was still in place.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. Then just got
snapped because right. You can feel it's gonna
you feel it, and she
that's what it was.
It's more
that's
of a
what
feeling
it
than snapped. A seeing thing.
If something happens inside your mouth, it's gonna sound like a jackhammer went off when she's not gonna hear anything.
Yeah, and it felt like somebody. I was like, is that thing driving into my gum? And she's like, it's just a Q-tip. I'm like, well, it ain't that. So then we pull that out. So so I have to get that crown fixed. And then my upper, that number 14, I'm finally getting the root canal on that tomorrow. Because and she's not 100% convinced it's this tooth either. But there's no way to see without doing it.
Yeah. And then every single one, though, there was something like, yep, this is this. Because it could be all of them.
And she even said, so her problem is she can't decide if it's 14 or 15. And she's like, it could be both. I go, you're telling me that at one time, 13, 14, 15, and the lower one all went bad at once? She goes, do you chew mostly on that side of your mouth? I go, yeah, I do. She goes, then it could be that.
Yeah. Wow.
So, which is why also she thinks that this crown was brittle. And because I do most of my chewing on my left side because I keep my tobacco on the right side.
Sure, sure.
That's why. At any rate, I'm getting that done tomorrow at, 10 a.m.
Well, and the fun part, maybe I don't know if you intentionally left this out, but the fun part is because they're root canal specialists, they could not fix the thing that broke in front of them.
That is correct. I say to the woman, what do we do about this broken crown? She goes, well, you go back to your dentist and he'll put a new crown in. I go, so you don't do that. She goes, I do not do that. I am a root canal specialist. I do the root canal. Then you go to him for the crown. I go, right, but you broke this crown. She goes, I didn't break the crown. So it's one of those. You sign papers.
Yeah.
And it's like.
And it's true that, like, if it was going to break.
It could have broken later. It could have broken to the movies that night.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like
Matt.
She didn't do anything to break it.
All she did was exacerbate it by saying, here, chew on this. Now chew hard and do this. But yes. That night at the movies, if I pulled a handful of popcorn and there was a kernel in there and I chewed on that, it could have happened at the movies and then that would have sucked.
Right.
Where at least here she was able to let me round it off for you so it's not sharp and blah blah blah.
Right.
And so what am I going to be the asshole that says no, pay for it? You know. And then she goes no, and then. Then now I got to find a new root canal specialist
Or either that or angry root canal.
Right. And by the way, I jokingly say this with Danielle. I have, because of my times at doctors, I get along with all my doctors, and they all find me somewhat charming and fun, because everybody else always comes in complaining of pain, and I do too, but I don't do it in a negative way, whereas I hear other patients, really, it's like, I don't know how doctors don't murder people, because they're people are just awful. And I try to keep an upbeat, and many a doctor has said to me, we can't believe how upbeat you are based on everything that's going on. This woman, all business, not charmed by my fun. just wants to know, and I'll be going, well, and she will. I'll be trying to be, well, it's this. And she'll go, pain or no pain. Bottom line, like, okay, very
all
good.
Right. Okay,
which part of me loves, and then part of me hates.
Yeah.
So the part of me that loves it, it's like, right, you're all business, right?
You got 12 people waiting their turn to do the same thing.
Figure out what tooth it is, and let's fix it and get you the fuck out of here so I don't have to deal with you and your witty remarks, comedian, so your paperwork says. I don't know what to put down anymore. Comedian, podcaster, I don't know what to put down.
Entertainer.
you know what? You put down an entertainer, you sound like an asshole that puts on tap shoes and goes around to parties.
Yeah.
You know, I make balloon animals.
Right? So, yeah, right? You don't sound legit. Although comedian sounds desperate.
How about SAG artist?
Wow. SAG actor representative.
That is crazy.
SAG actor. And I don't want to put down actor. That's not accurate.
You could put down producer.
Could I put down producer? What about
you? Absolutely can. What, yeah, if you're a producer of this program?
Presenter.
I'm from overseas.
Yeah. Jolly good.
Here's what I don't like about producer. That
feels less legit.
No, it feels like money. Feels like I got money.
Oh. So go back to entertainer then.
It's just such a, I think it's such a vague blanket term that no one, it actually sounds like you're full of shit to me. Yeah.
Producer?
Yeah.
I think it does.
Because I say it all the time. I'm always self-conscious. Like people probably think I'm just like some jackass.
Well, I think comedian feels full of shit too, as well as.
You have TV credits, though. Like,
thank you for that. There are levels of comedians. There are guys that maybe make more money than I do as road comedians, mm-hmm. because they work their ass off and they're out on the road and they, you know, they sell shit after the show, this, that, and the other. And they make a great living. And even their own families don't believe they're in show business.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And they make more than probably everybody in their family, mm-hmm. doing comedy, doing their dream. But because they're not Joe Coy selling out the Forum, they're not successful.
Right.
So that's kind of how I feel when I'm writing down comedian. Yes, I've been on I've done the Tonight Show, and I've lived the dream. I've hit all the marks. But if I'm not a household name,
it doesn't count.
It's mm-hmm. like comedian. Oh, do you know Nate Bargatze? I do. He was a guest on my show.
There you go.
Do you know John Mulaney? Wrote me a fan letter.
Hear me out, Jimmy.
Yeah?
Patient.
Patience.
Professional. Yeah.
Professional patience. Yeah.
It is a full-time job.
Yeah. That would, depending on the doctor, if I do get along, if I go to a certain doctor, they say, we're so sorry, Mr. Barton, you got to fill out new paperwork for the new year. And I know the doctor, I will write down jackass or professional buffoon. And then the doctor will go, hey, they get a nice kick out of it. This woman, I would not write that down for.
Uh-uh.
I think I left it blank for this woman.
Oh.
I also don't like, here's the other, I don't like writing down comedian because I like being pleasant in me,
yeah.
But if it says comedian, no, he's doing shtick.
Right.
He's doing, and now let's be fair, I am doing shtick. I just don't want it to look like I'm doing shtick.
Yeah, right.
I want to be the pleasant, I don't know, weirdo.
But I mean, I guess in this day and age, you can write podcaster and people will be like, oh, but it still seems illegitimate somehow.
It seems like it's, like Joe Rogan? No, like me. Yeah. Like Never Not Funny, 2006.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel. And then they also, you'll get this. Oh, my cousin has a podcast.
Right.
Of course. Yeah. Please know that I'm not your cousin.
Yeah.
Please know. I have Factor Meals on my side.
My cousin is Karen Kilgariff.
Oh, okay. Oh, then very good. Never mind. Oh, then that makes perfect sense. She also has Factor Meals on her side and possibly Shopify.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of our podcast, and I'm glad this is a horrible segue, but I want to get it in while my brain thinks of it. FanClub@JimmyPardo.com is where to write me if you want to be part of the 2025 Never Not Funny Fantasy Baseball League. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Never Not Funny Fantasy Baseball League. I believe there are 7 openings. It could be 8. It could be 6. Between 6 and 8 openings for the league. And I will draw the names after the new year. So we come back here on the 6th, right on a Monday, and then I will draw them on that, I believe it's the 9th, January 9th, I will announce who is in the league, and I do that so that you have enough time to get your airfare and that sort of thing. And the draft date is March, I'm pulling it up now, Matt, March 22, here in Los Angeles, and it'll be live in person. So do not write and say, I'm in. And then I pick your name and you go, oh, I thought it was on Zoom. It's not on Zoom. It is live in person. You need to be in Los Angeles on the 22nd, basically from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. We'll finish before that, but that's basically your window of time that you'll have to be here. And it is I'm saying these are U.S. dollars. Hang on. I'm saying these are funny money dollars,
okay.
But they're actually U.S. dollars in case somebody's listening. We don't want to get sued because is gambling illegal? I guess it's not anymore, right?
I don't know, man.
I have no idea.
I don't know. Our president's a felon. Who gives a fuck?
You know what? Right. It's a $300 buy-in. It's $300 to buy in. And we'd like to, if you want to get on board, now is the time to get your name in, FanClub@JimmyPardo.com. I will use the Pardomizer to draw those names. I assign everybody a number, mm-hmm. and then hit the partomizer. My young boy Oliver, you've met Oliver.
I have.
He will do it so that it's honest and fair. So I'm not picking, you know, the 12. Oh, I know this guy's a nice guy. Oh, I know her. Mm-hmm. You know, he does it so that we don't. There's no impropriety. Is that the word?
Yeah, that's a good. That's a good.
That's a good word. Also, coming up soon, the Never Not Funny LPGA Fantasy Golf League. Everybody's in on that. We've got all 12 players. Mm-hmm. I will be this week, dear listener. I will be once again with my son Oliver. You met him.
Nice guy.
Thank you for saying so, Garen. One day you'll meet Oliver. It'll be a nice day for you.
You talking about the stand up comedian?
About stand up comedian Oliver Pardo. Yeah.
Yo, cool.
You've seen him perform. I have never met him before.
I'll give you the opportunity to meet him someday. Matt took a photograph with him. Nice. So you could have had your shot as well. Next time you see him, ask him for a photo.
I'm going to print it out and have him sign it.
That's probably not a bad idea.
Yeah.
It's like when I took my picture with Sarah Palin. And it's like, mm-hmm. but you never know.
Yeah.
You never know. She could end up being the doll for Waylon Flowers someday.
Just side note, the Flappers seems to have gone out of their way to make that spot where logically everyone would be taking pictures. The worst lighting of all time. It's Matt, absolutely horrible.
Not only is it the worst lighting, let me finish this. The draft order will be set this weekend for the LPGA League. Okay. Not only that, I don't sell anything after my shows there for several reasons. I'm there every other month. That said, local people never have a chance to, you know, I go on the road, I sell posters and pins and people line up and they buy them. Locally, I never do that because that hallway is not only bad for lighting, there's just nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Mm. So if I'm standing at a table,
right.
people don't, there's, you know.
It's awkward.
Not a problem Saturday night. There's not a lot of people there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not ideal for that. So that is why that you're looking. It looks like you're itching to press a button over there. Which one are you pressing?
The time has come and gone again. But I'm going to go ahead and do this.
Yeah.
Let's get numero.
Almost a half an hour ago.
It kind of was.
Boy, this is it. Came and went, 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 came and went.
Yeah.
You could have dropped that at any moment, except for the moment that you chose to, and you didn't choose to. I forced your hand.
Yeah, because I made that calculation. I was going to do it, and then you shifted from the number conspiracy theories into the crown. I guess is mm-hmm. that the English thing about the royalty? And nobody liked that joke. And
can I tell you why I didn't?
It wasn't a good one.
I was worried that everybody heard my stomach.
Oh,
I heard something I didn't realize.
Yeah,
that was
my stomach doing okay. Some bananas moves.
Yeah. But so then you know.
Also, the joke wasn't good.
Yeah.
I want to be clear that.
Yeah.
That also was on the table.
Let that go.
Can't let it. It wasn't just my stomach.
No. I agree. I shoehorned that in. But yeah, and then I couldn't do it during teeth. And then you were talking about, like, I was listening and you were talking about the fantasy baseball and stuff. I was like, oh, he's saying stuff. Number. Yeah. Oh, there's no spot. Oh, the spot's gone. Oh, God. Gonna do, oh wait, no. Oh, yeah.
Well, how about?
Are you relitigating what we just relitigated?
Yeah.
What's
going on over there?
Do you have a button there that says celebrity sighting?
I do. You have one?
I'd like to wait for our guest.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to wait for our guest on that. Get our guest involved.
Nice.
But it's not mine.
Oh, you're right. Okay, let's do it.
Okay. Sure.
Ryan, it's time.
Now a recurring segment. Ryan somehow sees more celebrities in a month than I've seen my entire life.
The head of AST Records, Ryan. Here he is.
Hi.
He's had another celebrity sighting.
I did.
And, it's very strange. Why all of a sudden are you're getting a...
I don't know.
By the way, have we talked about that Ryan's going to be a dad?
No, we have not.
Oh, I didn't know if you knew that. Yeah, Ryan.
Oh, congratulations, Ryan.
Thank you.
When's the, what does baby do?
January 30th.
Oh, geez, you're about to be a dad.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that's
coming
fantastic.
Up.
Are you excited about it?
Very.
Are you nervous at all?
No.
No reason to be nervous.
Excited.
Good for you.
He's a long-time godfather.
Yeah.
First-time dad.
Yep.
Long-time first-time.
Good for you. Yeah. That's exciting. Do you know the sex? You're waiting to find out.
Boy.
Good for you.
It's a boy.
What did you want? You acted like you wanted a different...
I don't know.
There was only one or two things that was going to be said, and yet you seem disappointed.
I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't... I don't think Ryan's ready to be a father. I guess that's what
especially
it
of
to.
A boy,
not a boy. I think that's part of it too.
Is that why you double clutch?
I don't see him raising a boy.
Yeah, you seem like a girl dad.
Yeah, you seem all mushy. Right.
Classic that, Kobe Bryant girl dad.
I'm mushy.
Yeah, you don't seem like a strong person.
You gotta be strong to raise a
you
boy.
You don't seem
you
like
gotta be strong.
Gotta be tough.
Gotta
be
you bold. See me and Matt.
Is Matt tough?
We're two of the strongest men you're ever gonna meet. We're raising boys.
Right? No, if we could raise boys, anybody can. Mm-hmm. You kidding me? My boy's gone out of his way not to let me raise him like a boy. I mean that in a, hey, try baseball, try golf, try.
Yeah, he had no interest.
No. All right, Ryan, where were you? Where were you when you saw said celebrity?
I was boarding a plane, a flight to Chicago.
This celebrity is getting on the plane.
They were already on the plane as I was boarding.
In first class.
So they were first class.
They were first class.
You're walking past them.
Way past.
Back to steerage.
Yeah, okay. All the way in the back.
Is this person associated with the city of Chicago?
I wouldn't say so.
It's okay. Not Jeremy Piven?
It's not Piven.
Is it anybody
first
in
guess,
the...
Piven.
Well, my first guess, when he texted me, my first guess was obviously Oprah.
Oprah's on
she
a private
does not
plane.
Fly
and then,
American.
Said I was, she hasn't seen the inside of a commercial flight in 30 years.
No, she has not.
Minimum.
No.
But, okay, so is it someone from the cast of The Bear?
No.
Okay.
Is it an actor?
That would have been associated with Chicago, I would say.
But if they've
it
done a lot
actor.
Of other things. Like,
it is an actor.
Like, what's his name? You know, the uncle guy, the rich guy.
Yeah, oh, right.
Oliver Platt. Kirk?
Oh.
Like, he's been in a million things, yeah. So I don't associate him with Chicago necessarily, but he is on that show.
True.
All right. Is an actor.
Actor.
Man?
Man.
Over 50?
Do we get to play?
I'm just getting the...
Matt's good at the
just get the
minutia.
Get the business out of
running the board on us.
I would guess not over 50, but probably
close.
Right.
Okay,
maybe Gen right X. Around there. Yeah.
Gen does he have kids? I know you're a father. You guys like to talk.
He does have father. Kids.
He does. You know that he does.
Or at least one that I
was. He, was
aware
the kid
of.
Sitting next to him on the plane?
No.
Was anybody the person sitting next to him also recognizable?
I didn't notice. I don't think there was anyone next to him.
Were you? Did you get a little? Did your
so
did your heart? Did you go oh,
palpitate?
Is there any celebrity that would make you do that?
No, I don't think.
Yeah, that's why you're not going to be a good dad. You got to have some excitement in your life, Ryan. You're too rigid. I don't like the rigidity.
Ryan's not impressed with the trappings of celebrity.
I don't know if I'm rigid though.
No, you're rigid.
So
my limited dealings with you, you're very rigid.
I don't know if this falls under are they associated with Chicago, but are they on a program set in Chicago?
No, never mind.
They're not. And is this person mostly known for dramas or comedies?
Dramas.
And is this a gentleman?
It is a gentleman.
Okay,
yes.
Gentleman. And it's dramas.
And yeah, it's more, dramas. Mostly TV or both?
No.
But lots of movies.
Mostly
more,
movies?
More movies?
More movies.
Oh, more movies.
More movies.
All right.
Movie
handsome?
Star. We're talking about a movie star.
Very handsome.
Should we stop thinking about Chicago?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Really hung up on the Chicago
I was just saying where
thing.
I was going.
Yeah, that's... yeah.
Is it Scottie Pippen? Is it Trump supporter Scottie Pippen?
Famous actor
Trump
and Trump supporter?
Oh,
no. Yeah, he tweeted something out.
I didn't know that.
No, no. You know
I haven't been reading Scottie Pippen's
Here's what he
Twitter.
He tweeted
feed.
Out a photograph, a Photoshop of Elon Musk in a bull... uniform. How many rings would he have won if this guy was on our team? Something along those lines.
What?
You know what the answer is? Zero.
Less.
Zero.
Yeah.
Guy can barely jump off the ground.
Yeah,
we've
right.
Seen his rise.
Zero.
It's
guy doesn't know how to cheer. Guy's a moron. He's the dumbest fucking millionaire in the world. Billionaire.
Mm. All right. Has this guy been Academy Award nominated or won even?
Definitely nominated. I don't remember if he
definitely
won or
nominated,
not.
But he's flying on America. You said American Airlines.
American Airlines.
You look out that window nominated. And salute that tail like I do. There's a little flag on the tail. I salute
it
because I'm an American. I'm a patriot. I love this country.
Ryan. Flag on
How can you see the tail from the window?
You look out it.
What
is it? Bradley Cooper?
No.
I like that shot.
So it's handsome.
A deep,
all right.
Deep three
handsome
from the corner.
50-ish.
This is rough now because we've nailed that he's a handsome actor, but he's also done television, but he's mostly known for drama.
And yet he is on commercial airline.
That's fine.
That's
many
that's
successful people. Yeah.
But handsome, though?
You can't get
we travel
with your
too,
looks.
What if the people could slip all over the pussy juice that's created from his handsome?
That's what I'm saying.
It's dangerous.
A little
you shouldn't let him on there.
Yeah.
Oh,
I apologize.
Punch Garen.
Oh, man. Okay. So wait.
To it as PJ,
are you a fan? Let's go this way. Are you a fan of this actor?
Sure. I mean, I don't.
You don't like. I got to see everything this person's in.
Have you ever met this person?
No.
Have we ever met this person?
I don't know.
Do we think they've ever been on this program?
I would guess not.
We've had handsome people on.
Is this person American?
No.
Aha.
Oh, English.
No.
Australian.
No.
Chinese.
No.
Spanish.
No.
French.
No.
Pedro Mexican. Pascal.
No.
Italian. Canadian.
No, no.
Are they white?
Yes.
Japanese. You said Japanese.
Yeah.
Are they from a white country?
Yes.
Is it Gerard Depardieu?
No.
I said France. Germany? Did we say Germany?
Yeah, I said Germany.
No.
Is it European?
No. Yes.
A country in Europe they're from.
Yes.
Is it one of the Sarsgaards or Skarsgård?
No.
Oh, is it a Scandinavian country?
No.
What's left?
Is it a Baltic nation?
Mars?
No.
Yeah. So,
fuck.
Irish?
Italy? We say Italy?
Irish.
Irish.
Oh, they're smiling in the eyes.
Okay. Oh, is it? Okay. Oh no, he's one.
Gleason? Is it a Gleason? Is it one of the Gleasons?
Not Gleason.
It's what? Like what's his face from Oppenheimer? But he won it.
Cillian Murphy.
Cillian Murphy.
No.
Who's Killian Murphy?
Killian Murphy? I don't know.
I don't know if this person won an Academy Award or not.
What about Jude Law? Jude Law, is he Irish? I don't know anything about Jude Law.
What about that fellow you saw getting popcorn at the movie theater? I can't pull his name.
Yeah. Oh. Is it Colin?
Colin Farrell?
Yeah.
Wow. Hey. Good for you. You got us there.
That's the second sighting of
Colin Farrell in the year, I would say.
We saw him seeing Glenn Ross.
He's very handsome.
Very handsome.
He's a handsome man.
And I think you're right. Between 49 and 51 would be my guess.
Yeah,
somewhere around there.
For Colin Farrell. Very handsome. He's sitting there on the plane. Window or aisle? What do you prefer?
He was at the window seat.
Goddamn right. Looks at that flag. Just got done saluting it.
Happy. He's 48.
Hey, he's Irish. He's 48.
He's got bi citizenship. He's 48?
Yeah.
When's his birthday?
May 31st.
He's going to be 49 soon. I was. That window's true. By the way, look out that window. Salute that flag.
Jimmy, what was he wearing at the movie theater?
He was wearing
it seems like something striking.
Well, he was wearing
a beanie or something?
A beanie that was it was perched on top of his head.
Mm.
And was he wearing a scarf?
I think scarf.
I think he was wearing a scarf.
Yeah. So is that sound familiar?
To me?
Ryan, yeah.
No, you know what he was wearing, though, which was strange, was like a headband that... Like a plastic headband, kind of like this, that women wear to keep their hair back.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I got news for you. He had that on and the beanie.
Really?
What?
Yeah, he had that thing pushing it back. That's why I said the beanie was perched on his head. The beanie was literally...
So far back you could see
like
a hairband.
Cartoonishly. Like, how is it staying on? Like are bobby pins keeping this on his head? Because he had that thing pushing his hair back.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Like a little men on
why
film
does he
hat?
Have that? Yes.
Like he's like in one of those rotary clubs with the little hat. What is it?
Little Fez?
Yeah, Fez, yeah.
The Shiners?
Shriners.
Yeah, I couldn't pull Shriner. I was just what I was trying to think of.
But so he had the headband on also?
He did,
that's
yeah.
strange.
What's up with this guy in head? Is his hair long right now?
It didn't seem very long.
I agree with that, too. Like, why is that happening? Because your hair doesn't seem to need it.
Doesn't necessarily. Yeah, doesn't necessary.
Like, maybe it doesn't like his bang. It doesn't like bangs in his eyes.
Or he's like, he really wants everyone to drink in every last hair inch of that face. Like, look at it. Look at my forehead. Look at my eyes. Look at my nose.
I think we got to get to the bottom of this. Why is he going to Chicago?
The brows are...
Well, now, wait. So, am I remembering this correctly? Is he the Penguin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I thought... Oh, was that set in Chicago? But then, no, it must be Gotham.
It's Gotham, I would believe.
Well, it's set in Gotham, but that doesn't mean parts of it weren't shot in Chicago. Although, typically, that doesn't happen these days, but...
Yeah.
Oh, he films Sugar in Chicago.
Sugar.
What's Sugar?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's
his
Sugar?
Apple TV show where he's like a detective.
Yeah. Oh. And that film's in Chicago.
Never mind. Yeah. Never mind.
So
it's amazing that there are shows that no one's ever heard of that have movie stars in them.
Yeah. Movie stars.
And it's because they're on Apple TV. Yeah. A thing I pay for, and I still don't know about that.
Well, what we know about that then is he was flying on somebody else's dime. He
probably so.
Because SAG, and you got a contract says you fly first class.
Good for him.
Enjoy that's it. Nice.
Get that get that warm towel.
Oh, absolutely. By the time it hits your hands, it's not warm anymore.
Yeah. Have a cookie. Did I tell you that my dentist does that? Like at the end of my of the
give
appointment.
You a cookie?
No, they give me the hot towel.
I like
when
that.
When does that?
It's weird, right, though? Yeah. I guess because
and they used to offer
around.
Me a warm neck pillow, which I always turn down.
Why are you turning that down? You don't like to be relaxed?
I tried it once and it felt it was too hot.
Can I tell you why?
Yeah.
Rigid. You don't like to be relaxed. You don't like that neck loose.
I'm going
to
think more about this.
Yeah.
Look at that widow's peak. Guys got it going on.
You love Chicago.
That's what the closed captioning says.
Look at him there. He's very handsome.
Maybe he was just going for a visit then.
I heard he's going to, he's on that TV show Sugar is what I just heard.
It's a good show.
You like it, Garen?
Yeah.
Oh, Garen's aware of it.
Yeah.
Well, you're the one.
Yeah, and so I've watched one.
When you were, oh, all right, but yeah, you'll watch more. All right, Ryan, scram.
Okay, all right.
There's Ryan from ASC. Wait, Ryan, what, you got a client who has a new album coming out today or tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. Sam Wiles comes out tomorrow. Here Comes Success.
Okay.
Fun album.
Yeah, I was just listening to it. It's good.
Sam Wiles. All right. Well, good luck on that. We wish you a lot of luck on all your uploads and downloads.
And fatherhood.
Yeah, and your fatherhood. We'll see you before then, though.
Of course.
Maybe not, though. But the holiday's coming up.
No, I think we will.
You never know. It's going to be
a dad. Bye-bye.
Going to be a dad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exciting.
All right, let me put this back on there. It's exciting. I'll say it. A little scary. I don't
well, see. Bring a child into this world. Whoa, everything that's going on.
I also don't think he's going to be a good dad. Everything I know about him, I think he's going to be a horror. Luckily, that woman's going to be a terrific mother.
Yeah, she's going to have to be.
There's not a nicer guy in the world than Ryan.
True.
Yeah.
Right? Nothing seems to rattle him at all.
No, not really.
Nothing seems to anger him, which infuriates me.
Yeah. That kid will never hear a raised voice.
Right.
Which my children cannot say.
Oh, neither can mine. Yeah. Neither can mine. Because Mike comes to my shows and hears me yell at people. Yeah. I watched a little bit when I got the Oliver's video, mm-hmm. and they accidentally sent me my video. Uh-huh. And I did not want that. but they sent it in two pieces. Uh-huh. And I just started to watch a little bit of it. And I was laughing. I was laughing at my own show, mm-hmm. which was bizarre. Mm-hmm. Because I will say this. You and Danielle and others were very complimentary after that show. And I said thank you. And then my brain went, no. And then watching it, I was like, you know what? This is a funny show.
Yeah.
This is the 20 minutes I watched, it was nonstop laughter.
Yeah.
And it's like, what more do you want, asshole?
It's just with a crowd that size, you don't necessarily feel it the way you feel it with 200 people laughing in your face.
Of course.
So it's, I think maybe partly you kind of feel like, well, yeah, I made those people laugh, but it didn't feel
well. It also, like I did anything. Again, not unlike when I only have 11 points at 7-Eleven, when there's only 11 people in the audience, you feel like a failure.
Yeah, I could understand that.
And so you feel like, and again, as you know, it was dark outside, so people were afraid to come out.
Also, it was an odd night for you because you had the joy and the thrill of watching your son perform for the first time, and then you had to do your job, and so maybe it's different than just a typical night where you go up and it's about you and you're thinking about yourself.
100%.
You weren't thinking about yourself the way you always do.
Yeah, it's my ego that does that. I met one of Oliver's friends outside of the while Olivia was on. I went to the restroom, and mm-hmm. one of Oliver's friends also was going to the restroom and said, hey, we've never met. I'm so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And then immediately went, oh, I'm so sorry to bother you. You're probably getting ready for the show. And I was not as pleasant as I would have been because I was nervous on Oliver's behalf.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had a little knot in my stomach mm-hmm. for him, not for me, right. But also because I don't want his friends to think, hey, your dad can only draw 11 people? It's a little fucking sad and pathetic. Mm. Which I don't disagree with them. they would have every right to question why that's happening. Yeah.
Look, the reality is they know you're not a household name. But the main reason why the room wasn't full was not you. It was because
it was
of
him.
Flappers. No.
It was Flappers.
It's like no one's going to that room on that night if there's a bigger room with a guy who's been on television for 40 fucking years performing. And as we know, that room wasn't full. So if someone was just like, I'm going to see comedy, if that room had been full, they might have gone, all right, I'll go in there. But that didn't happen. They went into the big room because there were seats in the big room.
And they recognized the name.
Right. And so, like, that's just kind of how comedy works sometimes. It's like,
not sometimes.
Yeah, again, maybe always. But like, you're especially, during the festive season where you're like got, a lot of parties and other things happening. People are busy. They're like distracted or whatever. They're not necessarily looking for something to go out and do on a Saturday night. And it all those things were in play.
Well, I'm also going to throw this into the mix, Matt, and it's going to contradict a little bit what you just said. This is the time of year where Christmas parties show up at comedy clubs, and that's awful.
Yeah,
that, and so I also had that little knot in my stomach of, oh, Oliver's first time is going to be in front of people there on their Christmas. I don't like being on stage for a Christmas party.
Right.
I wouldn't want your first time to be. Luckily for him, that was not a problem. They all stayed home. They all took your advice and went to the parties off site.
Yeah.
From there at Flat.
I thought it was because it was going to be too dark.
It was dark here. Yeah.
We did cover this. Yeah. Obviously, that's the number one reason.
Number
one.
Of course, yeah.
Although the moon has been very, very bright lately because it's so dark outside. The moon seems brighter than usual. All right, let's take a break.
Yeah.
Nicole Parker is here. She's waiting patiently out in the hallway. We got our celebrity sighting out of the way. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to have the drama movie that begins with the letter P. We're going to deal with that. We'll talk to Nicole about her various projects, including that one. What's it called? The one with I am truly having a prevision moment. The Paul F. Tompkins one where they read next door things.
Yeah.
She could probably tell
Neighborhood
us more about
Watch?
It. Neighborhood Watch, I want to say it is.
Is that right?
I don't know.
Suddenly second guess myself.
We'll ask her.
Okay.
She'll let us know when she gets in here. We'll do that when we come back. We'll do all that when we come back. Right after this. When we come back.
Hey, gang. Matt here with some dates for you. Nicole Parker is on Instagram at NFParkerGirl. She's also on the great podcast Neighborhood Listen with Paul F. Tompkins. So if you enjoy him or her or both of them together, maybe you've already heard it, but you should check it out wherever you get your podcasts. It's a fun time. Jimmy Pardo and me and Elliot and Garen and our guest will be live streaming our next Platinum episode on Thursday the 19th, 10:30 a.m. Pacific time is the start. If you are tier 2 or higher, you can listen live as we do the show. You can even in the break, you can listen to us chatter, and we'll take some phone calls at the end. So just go to nevernotfunny.com and you'll get the link to that if you are tier 2 or higher. And Elliot is doing an improv theater show on the 20th at 9:15 p.m., December 20th. It's a sci-fi improvised show, so go to improvtheater.com if you want more information or how to get to that, do all that. And if you hear the very end of this episode and want to email us something, just know the answer is Roy Orbison. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the program, episode 35P of the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny. I need to sip more of this monster drink. Off the air, I mentioned our alarm went off again. While I was on stage at Flappers on Saturday, we had a sensor. Sensor 11 was the situation.
Yeah.
Sensor 9 was a problem last night at 3 a.m., and when the alarm goes off at 3 a.m., it doesn't matter if you think, well, it's just a sensor going off. You still panic that your house is being broken into. And so you're up with a start, and then you're not getting back to sleep.
Yeah, that might be the worst possible time because it's you can't fall back asleep. You're definitely asleep by then, even me. So it's like the one little window of time where you probably have fallen asleep. You're in the deep.
Yep.
And then once you wake up, you're like, well, I'm not going to get back.
I watched three Perry Masons. And then, I was sleeping in the deep. Is that something? That's an Adele parody.
Well, if it was 3 a.m., Jimmy. You must be lonely.
Wait, it's 3 a.m. Wait. Oh, no, I'm doing a different song. Can't fall asleep, must be lonely than this. I'm singing a song called Tragedy by a guy named John Hunter that even John Hunter doesn't remember doing.
Not the smash hit by Matchbox 20.
The great Rob Thomas.
Yeah.
He inducted what band into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? What band did Rob Thomas induct into?
Chicago?
Yeah. What band should Rob Thomas not have been inducting into?
Chicago?
Yes, very good. God damn it.
Because when you think Chicago, you think Rob Thomas.
I don't. They just had, and we'll bring our guest in, they had a thing over the summer. Chicago was celebrating their 55th anniversary of the first album.
Mm-hmm.
And they had special guests. Steve Vai, who's a great guitarist, so I understand that one. Then another guy's name I can't remember as a special guest, a guitarist. I understood that one, and then of course Chicago favorite Robin Thicke. Why the fuck is Robin Thicke there?
I don't know.
I don't dislike Robin Thicke, but get away from my band. I've got more right to be there than you, Robin. Although his dad did co-write a song with Bill Champlin, who used to be in the band.
Okay. I did not know that information.
A song called Sarah, Alan Thicke co-wrote with Bill Champlin on Bill Champlin's Runaway album. Goes deep.
Yeah, it's real deep.
I must be lonely, this man is sad and deep. There's that Tragedy song again. Hey, Nicole Parker is here. Nicole does a show. I don't know if it's still active. You still do the thing with Tompkins where you the Neighborhood Watch?
Yes, if you're referring to Paul F. Tompkins, it's called the Neighborhood Listen.
Neighborhood Listen.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Walk us through what it is.
Okay. Well, if you've heard of the Next Door app?
Yeah.
And if you haven't, if you're listening at home and you're like, what's that? It's basically like a social media front porch. You know, it's basically, I mean, most of it is white women like, I heard gunshots. Someone's taking my mail and looking at my oranges. Follow this guy in the hoodie. Is that a coyote? That's generally what it is.
Yes.
But every once in a while, there's amazing posts that are just character driven, you would think. And so we thought that would make a great improv jumping off point. So we created a fake town called Dignity Falls. I play Joan Pedestrian. She's the local realtor. Paul F. Tompkins plays Burnt Mia Payday, spelled millipede. He's a local pharmacist. And Brett Morris is our engineer, but also plays my husband, Doug. And then we'll invite an improviser on, and they can choose a post, and they choose the person posting or the person posted about. And the town has a lot of lore now. Our fans are keep track of it, but we forget sometimes.
Of course, like, you do.
Yeah. So because it all just goes, and the streets are only named after presidents and types of trees, because otherwise, you know, we don't want to use actual streets. But Paul had to actually put like a little diner card up on the table, because, you know, we just kept on naming presidents that were like, just it was just Clint, everything was Clinton, McKinley, and Bush. Gotcha. We were like, we need a few other ones.
You got a Taft drive yet?
Say again?
Is there a Taft drive yet?
I think Taft drive has been mentioned, yes. And Kennedy, of course, you know, but we really wanted to go for the more obscure ones. Mm-hmm. So that is the podcast. And yes, we're still doing it.
Boulevard.
We just finished the seventh. Yeah. We just finished the seventh season. So it's fun.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
And you nailed what my next door is. It's all people seeing coyotes.
Mostly coyotes.
Get your dogs away. By the time I read this, the coyote will be gone.
Yeah.
But thank you.
That and lost tortoises. So many.
Are there a lot of tortoises?
So many tortoises missing a home. Yeah. Or having a great time, not being in a home. Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
I don't have next door, but I have a Ring doorbell, which has the same feature. They've added that to it, and they sort of backdoor the notifications into your life, because if you want to know who's at your door, you also have to know that someone lost their dog 5 miles away. I guess if that affects me, but it's weird. It's only about missing dogs. It seems like that's
it
all
is.
That
but also, I also just love the way that some people use it or outsource it for things that make no sense. Just a lot of ones like a picture of something in the bushes. What is this? You know, it's like, well, it's clearly a rock. I don't know why you had to ask Carol, because it's a rock. Everyone underneath in the comments says it's a rock. You know.
Also, you're there. Like, I'm just looking at a picture. You could actually walk up to it.
You touch it. Pick it up. Why do I have to help you?
Yeah.
Crazy. I'm busy trying to find a coyote.
I'm mad at Carol.
I saw a coyote this morning.
A coyote this morning?
Yeah, from my car. Thank God.
Yes, because we know you. You wouldn't be here. You'd be in the urgent care.
Yeah,
I'm EKG.
What you need to know about me is I'm terrified of coyotes.
Oh, specifically?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I see a lot of them. Yeah. They seem like they're really taking over.
Was there like a childhood event? There always is.
Oh, it was? No, there was an adult event.
It was an adult event. I was walking back to my car with my wife from the UCB Theater on Franklin, and a coyote was just brazenly going down the middle of the street.
Oh, wow.
And we had some leftover pizza with us from that place next to the UCB. And it might not be there anymore.
I don't think it is.
It was great pizza. But anyway, he was coming towards us, and it was I've told this many times on the show, so I apologize to anyone who's tired of it. It was a drought. There were fires in the hills driving the animals.
They
were desperate. They didn't have food. They didn't have water. They were coming into the neighborhood looking for anything to gnaw on, I believed.
Yeah.
And so I instinctively ran away from it, leaving my wife behind.
But what you miss is he was a great monologist for ASCAP.
Yeah, he was.
He actually turned out he was just on his way to the show.
He was just trying to, you know, he's trying to make it in this town.
It was actor Peter Coyote. Which you also would run from.
He talked all about Backdraft.
I am a little scared of him, too,
You know, he's got that voice that is a little, can be considered menacing.
He's a big creepy.
I love him. Yeah. Although he was a scary guy in E.T., right? As a kid, he was the guy who
was the science guy.
Yeah,
very unclear whether he had romantic designs on the mother or like, what was his deal.
He also remember the year he did the he was the VO guy for the Oscars.
Oh, is that right?
And you wondered why is Peter Coyote? I mean, he's got a great voice, but why is Peter Coyote doing this?
That's interesting.
And coming up, and then they would start with just the voice, then they would have him after this, and then they would show him on camera.
Yeah, like,
I know they always do that. Which, you know, it's like, okay, cool, but also why?
I don't need it. I don't. I like when it was just a woman's voice. I didn't know, and I didn't know her
because it's a it's a gig. And so if it's someone who you sort of know who they are, then you start to feel bad for them. Like, oh, they had to take this job that's adjacent to something great, but not that.
I sang at like a gala for something, and they did have that lady. I mean, because she was advertised. She was announced as the lady who we constantly see, and it was kind of fun. Ladies and gentlemen, Nicole Parker. Yeah. I mean, she didn't say from anything. It was just my name.
And you sang. You said
I did. I sang.
What did you sing? What song did you sing?
I sang "What I Did for Love," which is a it's from the chorus line. You know that song? Well, I don't listen. You're a bunch of straight white guys. I'm not going to assume you know musical theater.
It's very bro in here, is
it? I live in two worlds, the comedy world and the musical theater world. They don't always intersect.
Guess where we live? the corner. That same corner.
Fantastic. Yeah. I sang "What I Did for Love."
Nice. Great song.
Mm-hmm.
Ellie, give us a little taste.
What I did for love. What I did for love.
Interesting place to start. I love it. I love you started. That's like a tricky place to start. Sounded great. That was good. Yeah. That was
he's
good very, stuff.
He's Pippin, right?
That's the perfect pitch, right? Pippin.
He was almost the lead singer of Stone Cold Pilots.
No kidding.
Yep. Yeah. It was down to him and 300,000 other people.
Yeah. He got very close.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do the Jimmy Pardo classic then. What is your favorite musical? It can't be Chorus Line.
God, no. No. I mean, it's tricky. It's going to be a Sondheim. It's either Sweeney Todd or I'll go classic, Guys and Dolls. Those are like the two top.
Guys and Dolls is not a Sondheim. You said it was going to be a Sondheim.
Well, Sweeney Todd is. Mm-hmm. But then there's also just like, I love a big classic musical too. Mm-hmm. And Guys and Dolls to me is like, that's my favorite.
Guys and Dolls is great.
It's great. It's great for high schools. Everyone sit down. You're rocking the boat. Mm-hmm. That's right.
You're rocking the boat.
It's got a lot of parts for high school kids to play. Yep. You know, you could put the guy, the football team in there, put him in a coat. You know,
sure.
That's all you need to do.
Yeah. Hey, it's musical theater, but they're like tough guys. So it's okay.
That's right.
Like you kind of sell them on that.
That's right.
Yeah. You got the guy who's upset with things. Jelly. I can't think of his name. Big Jelly. That's not his
Big
name.
Jelly.
What's his name? Big.
You mean like the one guy that's really big in the show?
Yeah.
I don't.
What's his name?
Well, now I can only hear Big Jelly.
It's not that far off. It's not far off. What's his name?
Great.
Karen?
Now this
Big
is
Jewel.
Big Jewel.
That's it. That's right. Big Jewel.
But they call him Julie. That's some
yeah,
point.
That's
Sinatra
right.
calls him Julie. Yeah.
Wow. Look at me getting scooped. Being the musical theater person.
Well,
coming up with a name.
You came onto the Rogan podcast.
Turns out. I was really hoping for 3 hours of a deep dive on ivermectin.
You're ready? Here we go. Suck it down. It's horse paste.
Not enough neon in here.
He does have neon, doesn't he?
So much.
Yeah, and it's right behind him. And I think it makes him sleepy. From what I can tell, whenever I see a clip, he seems very sleepy.
Dorn hypnotizes the guests into not realizing how long they're stuck there.
Do you think the gas is leaking out of the sign? And
something's got to be happening.
Making his brain mushy.
Something's got to be. He said something this way. You know, whatever. Some viral thing will always make. Every week there's something. Mm-hmm. Joe Rogan says this. That, first of all, why are we giving him any fucking attention? He's a jackass comedian.
Thank you.
A jackass, not a great comedian. And I know Ape does not kill Ape, but he's not that great. Yeah. So why the fact that he's considered Bill Maher and Joe Rogan speak out. They break their silence on this time. Great. They're both stoned out of their minds, running their mouths.
I heard he
I'd
was
like
a,
to, oh, go on.
I was just going to say, I think I saw somewhere he was a finalist for Person of the Year, Times Person of the Year, Joe Rogan, which is
I'll
shocking.
Say this. Oh. I would rather it be him than give Trump, because Trump doesn't know that Hitler was also Man of the Year once.
Yeah.
So he sees it as an honor.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
So which I understand they could say, well, because you know you have to look at the person who ended up truly having the most influence. Like what? But he doesn't know that, and so neither do his followers. So he will take it as exactly like you said, as a compliment. Mm-hmm. Also, I want to go back and just say, can we stop with any headlines that says speaks out against, because a lot of times it's the dumbest thing in the world. I think we're losing what that means.
Yeah. Also, I think they manipulate those, a lot of these outlets. They'll just say that, and then the actual thing that happened was they just mentioned it.
They're like, I don't like voicemail anymore. That's what they spoke out about.
Boy.
I don't know, something stupid.
I know. I'm also not a fan of it, like I used to do already, the breaks their silence.
It's
like,
yeah, that's right.
So
break silence.
You just ask them the question for the first time.
Yeah.
And so then it happened last night.
So they answered.
They answered. They break their silence.
That's what it should say. They answered a question.
The silence was the 10 seconds they were waiting for you to finish the question so they could answer it.
Ridiculous.
I'm glad we're all in agreement on that.
Yeah.
Here.
Good.
Where did you grow up?
In Irvine, California.
In Irvine?
Yes.
So Red Hat country.
You know, it was, we were very poor in a rich area. We did not belong there. My mom definitely tried to be, like, I grew up with, like, the OG Real Housewives of, like, Newport Beach, you know, but we did not fit in. My mom just sort of, like, she sent us to a school that we didn't belong at. It was all rich kids. So it was, like, a very strange place to be because they're from the Midwest. My mom was from Detroit, you know what I mean? It's like, and went to USC. That's how she ended up out here. That's how a lot of parents in Orange County met. Most of the people I went to school with, all their kids, all their parents went to USC. So, yeah, it was strange because I didn't, you know, really feel like I belonged. But it was, yeah, it kind of like went through a more liberal period. Now it's like super conservative again.
Yeah.
But when I lived there, it was like, I lived in an area by like UCI. So it was like more of like a slightly more multicultural area and stuff like that, at least, because it brought a lot of people from all over the world. So at least it was a little more diverse for me.
All right. And then, and you're living back down there now.
I am. Yes, that was a pandemic move. I had a small baby and figured I have to be near other people to like get through this. But yeah, no one ever thinks I'm from here. Everyone thinks I'm from like Chicago or New York or like anywhere but here.
No one's
ever from here.
Right.
True.
And then, yeah, and I went to school far away and then I lived in Amsterdam. You know, I did the Boom Chicago thing.
Oh, you did?
Sure you guys,
oh, cool.
Mm-hmm,
were you there with...
I was out there with everybody. My group was Ike. It was Seth Meyers was directing at that point. Josh and Jordan Peele and I started on the same week and... I don't know, Colton Dunn, everybody.
Yeah.
All the Jason Sudeikis, all the Ted Lasso people. I mean, it was crazy. It was a great time.
How long were you there for?
I was there for 2 years, right out of college.
Oh, goodness.
Baby. Crazy. You just, you show up broke. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, here's all the drugs you can eat. and then it takes you like a year to even make a well, it was a guilder back then. Guilder. But now it's the euro. But it was like, that's how long ago I was there. The currency was different.
Wow.
Yeah, everyone's, you show up and it's, everyone's terrified and it's just wet constantly. It's just dark and wet. And, you know, and the election happened like the week after I got there. You know, so we were like busy doing sketches. I was playing Hillary Clinton like already, you know. And like it's so quick to like how everyone just turned on us and was like the dumb Americans blaming us for Bush. And it's like, oh, the days. Oh, back in the day. And then, yeah, it's just you. I think I arrived on a Monday and my first show was Thursday. I mean,
wow.
They just toss you in. And it was a full 2 hour show with sketches and improv and like musical improv, which was kind of my thing. So that was my corner where I could go hide out and not get fired. No, but it was like very, very intense. I learned everything there. I mean, you know, you get people up on stage. It's like a half drunk Dutch Australian audience. I don't know. You get like a breakdown of all the countries people are from there. And the Dutch are very, very blunt. Like after a show, they're not trying to be rude, but they'll be like, that was a good show. And you're like, thanks. Like it was not as good as last week.
Oh.
This one was kind of not good. It was bad compared to that. And you're like, thank you. I didn't ask. and then you would do corporate shows everywhere, like anywhere from like a small town, like a hotel in Groningen, some crazy, you know, for like someone's retirement. Or you would be like in a castle in Germany or down in Nice, France. It was crazy. It was crazy. And Seth Meyers, and then after that, subsequently Joe Kelly, who writes on Ted Lasso, they left and their job was to write the corporate sketches. So they would have to talk to someone. It would either be like, someone's retiring, so here's all the things that are so funny about Heiss, you know, and the copy machine. And you get these sketches and you're like, I don't know why this is funny. And then you'd say it and all these Dutch people would laugh. I'm like, okay, great.
But so, you're making money and you're doing your living.
Oh,
your
it was
dream.
The greatest. Yeah, because there was like about 12 or 13 of us. And, you know, there was about six people or five people in the cast every night. So you either had the night off or you got to travel for 2 days or you were doing a corporate show, you know. And it was funny because someone had to be the point person. And it was usually one of the girls because you get per diem for everyone. And all the guys would come to you the night before, like, can I get my per diem? It's like, I know you want to buy drugs. But I'm supposed to. I know. Can you believe it? And you're supposed to, like, not get your per diem until the next day. But it was just, so it's just everyone memorizing, you know, telecom terms on the train because no one's gotten the script until the last minute. And yeah, I mean, it was the fanciest and then the tiniest. I remember my favorites were like the dead of winter when you go to some godforsaken town in Holland. And I have the best memories of like, say, like Jason Sudeikis would be on it. He would get in, you know, you're like in the north of, you know, Holland and we get into a cab and he's like, Statue of Liberty, please. He would just say that to the driver, like, Eiffel Tower, please. Like, it was just so funny. And just playing games in the hotel room. I mean, it was like the best time. It was like college, like having college a second time around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
funny people.
With funny people. And like the most legendary one, and everyone has a corporate, we have a Facebook page actually for like bad corporate shows because everyone has them. And all of mine were with Jordan. Oh, except for one. One was with Brendan Hunt, where we were on a speed train from the first, like, it was an ice, it was called the ice train. It was like its maiden voyage from Amsterdam to Cologne, Germany. And I thought it would be a great idea if like five Americans stood up and performed a show.
On the train?
Oh, on the train. And they're not even all facing the same way.
Nope.
Well, we didn't know. We just said, not pass, but we need money for drugs. No. But I had to play a song on a guitar. Like, there was this game that Brenda came up with where you, like, improvise a song on a guitar, but there's no place to put my hand, and I didn't have a strap. Oh, well, and I also really didn't play guitar. But, you know, and it's also like you're kind of swaying and you hear ding, 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 ding. You know, it's like all these announcements in German. I don't think anyone spoke English. And the most fun when people aren't really expecting that is there was always a warm up that we'd have to do, which was like, we're going to teach you three American sentences. Number one, I want fries with that. And that just like these bankers would go, I want fries with that. Like no one was into it.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it would go great. But the worst one or the craziest one was just me and Jordan. And this guy was, someone was like, do you want such and such money to do a show? But here's the thing. The shows are at 1 and 3 in the morning. We're like, what? They're like, yeah, it's some party. It was not, you know, this is, again, you just say yes, right? Like, who cares? Because what are you doing? And we're like, okay, we get to come up with our own running order. And so we did, like, you know, we have this improv game at first. We have two sketches, and then we'll finish with this improv freestyle rap game, which we would play. It's called Yo, Here We Go, as in Yo, Here We Go. Yo, Here We Go. Let's see you sitting in the front row. I mean, it's really, wow. Really great stuff.
Spitting fire.
Yeah. And not appropriation at all. So we had this one sketch that was like a couple having a fight in a car, and the bit was just that the music would change and the lyrics would echo like the fight that was going on, right? And so, but we needed a third person because there was a police song and a police officer comes in, and there was this fan who loved to come to the shows, and his name was Jan, and he was there in the bar that night. We're like, do you want to come and do the show with us? Like, do you want to be in the show? And he was so excited. I was like, yes. And he's got his Billy Club, and he's got his, you know, hat and his jacket. We get in a cab, the three of us, and we go to what I swear to God was like an abandoned cornfield. I don't know how anyone got there. It was a building. It was just a rave. It was just a party. You show up and everyone's got a wristband, and everyone is out of their mind rolling on ecstasy. And we're like, okay. And even the guy who's like in charge and has hired us is like, yeah, okay, so you're going to go into the chill out room, which is just a theater with all the seats gone and like stars on the ceiling. And everyone's just like out of their mind. So we're like, I don't know how this is going to work. And we get on stage and we're trying, like, I want fries with that. We're like, no, we're not going to skip that. And we always had a policy of like, you could cut in the, like when the lights went out and if it was going bad, you could just abort the whole thing. And you just had to tell the sound guy. And we started our improv game. It was awful. And then at first we were like, hey, come closer. And it was like Walking Dead. It was literally just like people like shuffling. It's like, that's far enough. That's close enough. Please stop. This is terrifying. And so after that, the lights went out. We're like, we're cutting to the end. So poor Jan. We couldn't tell him because he was waiting in the wing.
Jan's not going
to
make it.
We cut the sketch.
You're cutting Jan.
We cut Jan. And I have felt bad about it for the rest of my life. And he understood, but we still paid him. But we skipped to that rap game. And Jordan did the first bit. And then he just goes, who wants to see the white girl rap, trying to get their attention, like thinking that might work. And then afterwards the guy was like, yeah, that was probably not a good idea, and he paid us and he said you can go home. And I think some people are still trapped there because I don't know how they got home.
Do we know Jan's not still there?
I think Jan might still be there.
Poor Jan.
I felt really terrible.
Gets come from the
just
clip,
waiting for his cue
there.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Just he was at least, so excited,
he's in the wings.
Can you imagine? Oh god, we felt so terrible.
Of course you did.
It would have been a disaster though. Like, I'm sure he did. He probably already had
consolation
some
ecstasy.
Yeah, exactly. What a terrible idea. I loved it when people would just think something was a good idea and have us there, and it just was not.
It's crazy what people think is a good place for comedy that isn't.
Oh, God. I mean, we did. My first one was with, again, was Joe and Jordan. And it was in a, you know, a convention center in Cannes. We were basically in like the big, but it was during the winter and it was telecom. So it was just tiny booths. But they were like, let's have them do improv. So just people walking by.
And
they were supposed to, while we're doing improv. But like, you know, sort of like a corner, just like
right,
this, you know, with like, they had like almost like when you would wait in a line at Disneyland with like a little like, you know, rubber, like so you could lean against it as a, they didn't even have a seating area. You just leaned against some like poles and no one came. And I just remember we'd start to just entertain ourselves. At one point we were going to do like a celebrity sort of genre replay game. And Jordan's like, can I get a suggestion of a celebrity? And no one says anything. He goes, I heard Christopher Walken. We just took our own suggestions.
Sure. Yeah.
It was so, yeah, I mean, at that point, when you finish that job and you come back, you're like, oh, I can, you know, I can do anything.
Yeah.
Like, nothing is scary.
Right.
But and at least you had friends to do it with. You know, I did a bunch of corporates as a stand-up.
Oh, yeah.
And when they suck, and they, as you just described, you're alone.
Totally.
Walking out to your rental car.
The
and
worst.
Just, okay, holding your check and then running to the bank. Just awful.
I know. I know.
And no camaraderie. Nobody to, like, oh, we got through that.
The closest thing to that that I experienced was that you would get then hired out to do, like a workshop, you know, which I do think that at some point, like, I'm in a room of, like, 50-something Dutchmen. I'm in my 20s, and I'm trying to sort of tell you how improv fits with teamwork and fit. You could see them being like, this is bullshit, you know. But it was just you. And it was just you and just these guys. And there were times where, like, you'd make a joke and it would fall flat. But no one was there to enjoy that. I understand that bit. It's like, oh, I'm dying, you know, I'm like absolutely bombing in front of these men. And then they also like always had their jokes, you know, where it was just like the one exercise is to walk around the room and point at things, but call them what they aren't, you know, like this mic is an elephant. And then, of course, inevitably one guy would look at another and go, asshole, you know, shit like that. So fun. Really so fun and very predictable.
All right. Now you're back here in the States. You've got a baby who's now how old?
Five. So I guess
old.
We can't call him a baby anymore.
Yeah, they still.
He's an adult, and he needs to get a job.
You made
soon.
A big jump. That's too big of a jump.
Yeah.
He needs to start pulling his weight.
Is five toddlers? Is that what we call 5-year old a toddler?
If you're talking clothes, then God help you, because I mean, a 5-year old could wear a 4T, which is a toddler size, or a small. It's very confusing. But no, he's not a toddler anymore. He's like a Keys kid. He's
in
kid.
Kindergarten, right?
So yeah, he's in a Keys kid.
Beyond.
He's kindergarten.
Beyond that's
it sure is. Yeah, it sure is. He still breastfeeds though. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Not me. So yes, that is, and I shall have no more. He's the one, because look at the world.
Yes, Ryan next door, who is just here joining us, his baby is due January 30th.
Oh.
And why would you bring a child in now?
Well, listen, I mean, it's so funny because I have a lot of friends who are like, we had a second kid, but that's just so that we wanted a kid to have someone else to like play underground with. And I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Well, that's that brought things down. Well, anyways, what else should I talk about? I should tell another story about Jan.
No, we're good. I'm sad for Jan.
Yeah. I know. Honestly, justice for Jan.
I would like. Here's what I want. I want his wife to give birth early, so that it's on Biden's watch. I don't want this to be a Trump baby.
There you go.
10 days in.
Well, guess what? Mine was. It sucked. It was not great.
You
2019.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But the pandemic hadn't happened yet, right?
It hadn't. But
it was 2020.
God.
Early 2020. Yeah.
It was. Yeah.
But yeah, it's on Trump's watch. All right. Well,
yeah. I mean, I hate that that's like his whole, you know, so far his whole existence, you know, and the next, it's just, and thank God he has, I'm so jealous of his ignorance. My God, he's not going to remember any of this.
Thank God, right?
He might only start being like noticing in a year or two. Who knows?
When it could be fucking worse.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to go back to next door for a second.
Oh, okay.
On my next door, there's a guy named Reggie. And Reggie does Reggie's joke of the day. And I'll say this. They're nice street jokes.
Okay.
They give you a smile. I'm a jaded professional, so I shouldn't laugh at all. But good for you. And the whole point is, next door is so full of nothing but, what's this guy, to your point, Nicole, what is this person doing? What's this? What's that? Here's two guys in hoodies. Here's two guys in a backyard. And here's Reggie with his joy. Reggie got kicked off of next door because somebody was offended by one of his jokes.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Yeah, he was gone for a month. And then Reggie came back, and Reggie's like, hey, I'm back. For those who don't know, I was kicked off because of this joke. And it was so innocuous. It was nothing. Somebody got offended by nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Poor Reggie.
I know.
Just trying to bring it. He's a nice man. He posts photos of him and his wife. They seem like nice people.
That's nice.
They were wearing swastika t-shirts. So that might have had something to do with
it. I think that played into it heavily.
Yeah. Okay.
But I like Reggie.
Well, seems again, like a nice man. Okay, justice for Reggie.
Yes, Reggie deserves it. He's gone for 30 days. Where were I?
Listen,
I got no jokes.
The comment sections are wild in Nextdoor.
They're horrible.
So it's like, yeah, they're really, you can't, we have a policy. We do not read them. We don't address them.
Oh, you just read the posts.
That's right. That's you can't get bogged down in the comments. And also, we also allow, you know, we allow, like no one cares. We ask people, fans, to send in posts from their own neighborhoods, which makes it really great. But we also say definitely don't post a comment.
Yeah.
We won't deal with them because they're, you know, They're unhinged.
Gets crazy. Yeah. Yes,
they're what's happening quite a bit. I like next door for the reason of, oh, I need somebody to paint a fence. I'll
yes.
Somebody, you know, a fence painter, and then yes. inevitably it's nine posts of I can do it. I'll uh-huh. be there when you need me. It's like, I want somebody to tell me they just hired somebody. That's what right. I want.
Yes. Yeah.
Even if it's you lying.
Yeah.
Hey, I know a guy, and it's you.
Yeah. Yes.
Do that.
Yeah. Be savvy about it.
I'll do it when you need me. I need mm-hmm. a housekeeper. I need a babysitter. I'll do it. Guess who I'm never fucking hiring as a babysitter? Guy saying, I'll do it.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's this. We've had some ones lately where it's like, I think this is not about what you're trying to make it be about, which is like looking for a friend. I have a friend who's in his 60s and, you know, he's looking for love. He's not going to give you a financial boost, but he's going to really make you feel happy. And it's like, are you posting about your friend or are you the friend?
Yeah.
You know, or just like another woman who took a picture and it wasn't even of her house. It was just her patio. So you couldn't even tell. But it was like, I have an old house and I got home after week vacation and it smelled terrible. It smelled like old house. So what do I do? And it was like, clean it. What do you want us to? Why do you want us to live your life for you? Like, why is this a post?
Yeah. Unless there's like a dead body in the crawl space. Like, yes. what are you talking about?
I also feel sad for the people that will go, great news. I got great news at work today. And then they post what happened at work. It's like, you don't have any friends you could have told them about?
This is, that's just go on a message board at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah. Why like, are you on next door for that? Yeah. This is where I learned how to get a guy to fix my air conditioner.
I know. But those are like the equivalent. That reminds me of like, you know, an Instagram equivalent of like, so I did a thing, or so about last night, or yeah. I don't know why. Can we stop that too?
I would like that.
Let's stop. Let's stop. Speaks out about or break silence on, and let's stop. I did a thing. You know, yeah. Just like show us the thing, or don't tell us at all, tease it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also happening at Venmo. People love
I don't know why you have to talk about it. I don't know why you are required to put something, and it makes
well,
me
furious.
Well,
you are not. You can turn it off.
I do. I keep forgetting that. I do. Yeah. I do need to do that. But I don't want to see everybody else's.
Husband
so
and wife paying each other?
The
it's
default,
weird.
The default
that's the
should
part
be
that
off,
bothers you.
Right?
Yeah. The default
we all agree.
Should absolutely
Let's add
be
that
off.
To your list of things.
That's right. We've got a whole list.
Because it's weird to see what
it's
people
so
are doing.
So weird.
For pizza. Okay. Or a little pizza emoji. Yeah. Why? I don't know.
Stupid.
Why do I need to know that your son is paying you back for pizza?
No
it's
one
fucking weird.
Does.
Buy
no
your kid a slice
does.
Of pizza.
Do you think this is all just
you don't know how old that son is.
That's true. It could be five. Who's an adult from what I understand.
Absolutely.
Do you just think that Venmo is maybe a long con to catch Matt Gaetz?
Oh,
yes.
God.
It worked. I mean,
it gave him a TV show.
Caught him, but they didn't. It didn't stick.
A TV show or radio show on
OAN or something?
Oh, yeah,
it was weird because they caught him. I mean, he kept on saying pizza, but then he would do an eggplant emoji, and that's how they caught him.
Oh, because yeah. He's not smart.
Up. He slipped up. He's not smart.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he is. How's he a lawyer? Right? How did he pass the bar? You got to be smart to pass the bar.
You have to remember things.
I mean, you
pass
have to
the
pass
bar.
The bar.
But I mean, but he did.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But he's a
lot
dunce.
Of people don't.
A lot of people don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
it's
be
true.
Able to. I couldn't. Oh, I couldn't.
It's
get
grueling.
Like possibly. Certainly not with zero studying.
with what?
Zero studying.
No.
Certainly not if you brought it into us right now.
What if
right.
I did? What if that's how I did it? Right. Just to see how I did.
Nah. Surprise. I have. You're right. But I just pass out.
Would I get 63%? What would, like, what percentage could you
pass? How is it even scored? What is the, what is
I don't
it?
Know.
My dad took the bar and he had to, his handwriting was so bad and it hurt his hand so much that they let him use a typewriter, which at the time was a big deal. I don't know. Maybe now you can, it's just normal. Because this was in the,
'90s handwriting anymore
was that mm-hmm. yeah probably
yeah,
not.
Handwriting's out
yeah
but so they have multiple choice questions but it's not multiple choice you have to pick the thing and then explain the whole thing and then cite precedent for mm-hmm. it so if you don't know the law
I don't know.
You get like 12% or maybe two just for writing your name right something like that
wow.
I feel like if you don't know specific cases
right.
you're screwed
what if I just cited Roe v. Wade for everything no matter what it is
I mean you're bound
to Roe v. Wade
yeah. maybe one of them you
yeah and I stumble across one yeah.
But at the end there's one of those driver test questions which is like what weight can a truck go over but you know, nobody knows the answer
Roe
so that's
Wade.
How they get you Roe v. Wade
well, we got rid of it, though. Thank God, huh? Come on.
Oh, Jesus.
Assholes.
This is so heavy.
Makes things so much simpler now. We don't have that to worry about, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure, let's go with that.
One less law.
That's the other thing on next door. Everybody's mad at Gavin Newsom at the moment. Everybody's mad at
him.
Well, if
mm-hmm.
our governor would get his hands out of our business. You mean helping you, you ass fucks? God, you're so dumb. Karen Bass would do this.
She's been the best mayor we've had in forever.
Without question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's done amazing things in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And people are still, you know, if Caruso would be so much better off. She's cleaned up the homeless problem.
She really has.
And from what I understand, it's not all bad news for the homeless people.
No,
either.
she's doing good stuff.
But
yeah.
Where are the decorative trolleys, Jimmy? Where? Oh, where?
Is that a thing?
What are the Grove?
Well, he, you know, Caruso created the Grove and, right. and the marathon.
Oh, I always forget about that.
And they
That's
have
right.
those pointless trolleys.
Oh, my God. I know that really... That also, if you got hit by it, I don't even think you'd notice. They go so slow. Yeah.
But they do ding, ding, ding if you're in their way. They
sure
will.
Do.
There's probably a braking system on that as well, right? And you have a chance so. A small child runs in front of it.
Well, yeah. Otherwise, how do you do the trolley problem?
Oh,
yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know what that means.
That's basically the whole point of
Famous
The Good Place.
Philosophical. Uh-huh.
That's the whole point. They designed and developed that show for series just to get the trolley problem out there.
What show? I don't know the show.
The Good Place.
The Good Place.
Oh,
you
the
know,
good
with Kristen
place.
Bell. Yeah.
Yeah, I stopped watching it. Probably before the trolley showed up.
Full of philosophy, and that was one of the major, a focal point of an what episode.
Essentially, there's a runaway trolley, and there's someone on the tracks. Mm-hmm. If you divert it, it goes off a cliff, and everybody on the trolley dies. But if you don't divert it, it kills the one person. So what do you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One person.
That's the typical thing, but then they come up with variations on that where you're like, what if it's your dad that's on the track?
See you later.
Oh,
oh wow. Okay. This is also on the bar, by the way.
Oh.
That question.
Yeah, yeah that's
Roe v. Wade.
One of them. There you go.
I really wish I would have picked anything but Roe v. Wade. I really wish
to
I
be
could.
Honest, I'm not sure it's holding
Madison?
Up.
I couldn't think of anything else.
Brown versus the Board of Education.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
Scopes trial.
Scopes trial.
Even better. I like that name. Scopes trial sounds so... menacing.
Mm, yeah. It does.
Well, good luck to trolleys. I guess that's where we're landing on this.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I like a trolley, just not the one at the Grove. It doesn't go anywhere.
Jimmy Parter breaks his silence on trolleys.
Who, you know, what's her name, did? I can't think of her name. The woman with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh,
Whitley?
Shailene Woodley.
Yeah, she's finally broken her silence on her.
She did break her silence. That might have been actual break of silence. Who knows? I don't know what it was.
But it was her finally speaking out about being under his control or whatever the hell.
Oh,
she
God.
I didn't know anything about this. But she was in a relationship with him. And,
yes.
And now she's not.
She finally, I think she left him out of peer pressure more than she wanted to.
Hmm.
But now she reflects on it and says, oh, that's a good that I
didn't read anything past the headline because the Daily Beast didn't allow
not.
Me
you
to.
You know better. Yeah. That's right.
Right. I had to pay money to read further.
Yeah, and to all of it.
And I'm not doing that.
Correct. Yeah.
Guess what? What do we got, Garen? Are you able to break through that paywall? is it Shailene Whitley? Is that her name?
Woodley.
I thought it was Woodley. Woodley. Yeah.
Woodley.
Mm-hmm.
It breaks her silence on toxic relationship.
Oh, it really does say breaks her silence. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it was toxic. The guy's nuts.
Yeah.
Right?
Bless you.
What? Well, who was that? Where did that come from?
That was the father-to-be. Was that a sneeze?
He can't be a father.
You hear that? Can't control sneezes.
It was. No, the wife is there. It was an in-utero sneeze. The baby sneezed.
Awful. Just awful. Yeah, Karen.
She says, I feel like I lost my soul, myself, my happiness, my joy. I really understood depression, anxiety, and like complete soul detachment.
Oh, but she wouldn't leave him for a while. So is there a little bit of a Hearst situation going on? Hearst syndrome?
She stayed in the toxic situation due to her empathetic nature. Mm. It kind of kept me in this loop of feeling everything for everyone.
All right. Well, I take back then what I said about the peer pressure. I didn't know she wanted out. It seemed like it was a Cheryl Hines situation where it's like, she likes being with this guy, but she knows he's nuts. But
in a lot of cases, in a controlling relationship, you feel like you can't leave.
Of course.
Like,
that's what I say in her situation.
Yeah. Mm.
She says she knew she was depressed when she looked at a tree and felt nothing.
Oh, boy.
Well, wow. Then I'm depressed out of my fucking mind.
Yeah.
I look at a lot of trees and just go, there they are.
Yeah. There's a tree.
I felt nothing. I mean, that's another song from Chorus Line, just saying.
Oh.
Nothing, and I felt nothing. It's all about being in an acting class, and you're supposed to close your eyes and feel the wind, and she feels nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about pilot season.
Very specific. I last saw that at the Hollywood Bowl, the chorus.
Did you?
Yeah, you know where you don't want to see a chorus line? The Hollywood Bowl.
Well, I'm sure there wasn't a lot of dancing, was there? Was it a concert version?
It was a god.
Or no, was it like the summer musical?
It was the summer musical.
Oh, okay. Do you remember who was in it?
Nobody.
Okay. Wayne Brady. He's always in it.
He might have been a Wayne Brady. No, it was not Wayne Brady. Who was it? We went with John and Jamie, John Ross Bowie and Jamie Dumba.
I love them. They just came to see La Cage au Folle, which is the show I'm doing right now.
Oh, are you really? Where's that at?
It is at the Pasadena Playhouse. Mm. It's in its last week. And it's a little bit of a mini Mad TV reunion. It's Paul Vogt and me and Michael McDonald. If you had told us we'd be in a musical together, I mean, it's very funny.
Michael McDonald has that great story about being on a plane with somebody. What is his story about being on a plane with somebody?
Oh, well, that story is him and, well, Kathy Griffin and he used to go do, I believe it's the overseas story where they would perform for the troops and Michael Hitchcock, and they would go and they had to sort of do that emergency. It's called a combat landing because Michael's bit was like, you know, at first he immediately volunteered, you know, when everything started, you know, I want to go over there. And obviously they had like Robin Williams at the time going, they're like, we're good. And then things deteriorated and got worse. That's when they're like, hey, you want to come over? And it's like, no, let's go through the C-list people.
Yeah.
But he said they had to do, because of that, it was more dangerous. And they do this combat landing where you're basically just in like a jump seat. And then it's just like, they have to sort of basically act like they're crashing.
Oh.
You know, as like anti-artillery, you know, or anti-aircraft missiles, like, you know, just try to like throw them off. So I just love picturing these comedians. And Michael's not an easy flyer anyways. Like, I opened for him actually for a while, like for a time when he did stand up. And so we would fly to San Jose or we would fly different places, you know, and so he'll be the first to say he does not enjoy any kind of turbulence, but that kind of landing, I mean, no one would enjoy
nobody
that.
Would like that. Yeah.
But I just love that they went over and did that, but that's a funny duo, Michael and Michael, just, you know, in a crazy landing.
he told it somewhere. It was wonderful.
Yeah. Well, better than what I just did. He's such a good storyteller. My God, he's so funny.
Yes.
That's mostly what his, you know, at first that's what he was doing. He would just tell the funniest stories. Yeah. So good. Loved it.
If you're unsuspecting Comedy Club audience, you may not appreciate it. But if you're at the Largo or the UCB,
honestly, we would do, you know, the improvs. And like, they was great.
They enjoyed
loved him. Oh, they loved him.
They knew him from the Mad Television.
They loved him in Brea. They loved us in Brea.
Who else? So when is Lacage?
Even think, who knows when this. Yes, it's ending. But we were doing it for a while. And like Cheyenne Jackson, he's kind of a big deal. He's on a lot of, what is it? American Horror Story. He's a big Broadway guy. Great singer. Yeah, it was a really fun cast. You know, it's basically it was a movie first, but then a musical. Then The Birdcage was the movie that was based on. Yeah. And of course, you know, Michael and I are playing the Gene Hackman, Diane Weiss roles, the people who like want to ruin everyone's life. So I'm basically dressed like a real housewife, and Michael's, you know, Michael, he looks the part perfectly.
Are there men in dresses? Cause I don't care for that. I don't want to read the story.
Oh boy,
children.
Jimmy. Well, if I didn't know, this is what it was going to be.
I don't want that nonsense. Them bringing joy to children's lives.
I know
what's happening,
it's
over
terrible.
There.
Yeah. They're reading books. Can
no,
you believe it? They're reading books to children.
I won't
it's
have
awful.
It. Meanwhile, another pastor's arrested.
I mean, the reading books is probably the real issue.
Like, it really is. I think it's what it comes down to, with literacy.
Don't educate people.
Really against literacy.
Yeah.
Gary, were you looking something up? Or we got all the information we needed.
I think he was hoping you were. Could you?
Oh,
could
I
you look anything up?
I know who was in your chorus line, I believe.
Oh, who?
Oh, good.
Mario Lopez?
Yes, of course he was. He played, you know who he played?
Was.
He played Zach the director.
Yes,
I guarantee
did.
You. Yes, he did. Yep.
I think you're right.
Yep, of course he did.
Yeah, you know who you don't want to see do that? Mario Lopez.
Oh, come
the
on
great
now.
Thespian Mario Lopez.
This won't surprise you. He was sleepy because he doesn't stop working.
Yeah, makes
he
sense.
He and Ryan Seacrest, go to bed, you fucking nutbar.
My God, seriously.
Leave a job for somebody else.
Someone else.
You don't have to have everything.
That's right.
You're already
finally
a
someone
zillionaire.
Said it.
Jimmy Pardo breaks the silence on
Ryan Seacrest. Hot take.
Enough with Ryan Seacrest. My dad has spoken out. He doesn't like him on wheel. Doesn't like him.
Okay.
Doesn't like him on a wheel? Is that what you said?
On Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, okay. I was like, is that a phrase?
I do not like him on a wheel. I do not like him with a peel.
I like Ryan Seacrest on a wheel. He doesn't like him.
So he's doing Wheel of Fortune now?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I forgot that happened.
After the Jeopardy debacle, they did not want to go through that again, so they just gave it to, and I know this for a fact from people behind the scenes, they just gave it to the most innocuous guy. And they're like, just give it to Ryan Seacrest so we don't have all this trouble again.
How does he even have time?
That's my point.
He's time jumping.
Well, yeah,
Pat Sajak, that's the only thing he could do.
Right.
That and, you know, go right-wing nut bar.
Well,
yeah. Him too?
That takes up a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. God damn it.
Yeah, it was
What's
a bummer.
A game show host being like that?
Right? We just lost a great
Chuck
Woolery.
Yes. Oh, but he wasn't like that? I thought
No,
was
he was his... nuts.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, he went
My sister went on Teen Scrabble. Fun story, or fun fact, either or neither. It is true. She went on Teen Scrabble. She did great, and her name is Sheree. It's spelled Share. It's not intuitive when you look at it and know how to pronounce it. But I just love that right off the bat, he said, "We have Sheree. Is it Sheree or Sherry?" And she very clearly said Sheree. And he went, "Okay, Sherry."
Yeah.
He just never ever got it right.
Do you know why? He was dumb.
No, he wasn't paying attention. He was drunk.
He's dumb.
Most definitely, he was.
Well, I enjoyed
was
my time with
him
when I was at when we had shows at the same time at GSN. I enjoyed my time with Chuck. It was very limited, but I'll say this now that he's dead. You're not supposed to speak ill of the dead. He was dumb.
Oh, my. my God. Well, you were just dumb, huh? That's dumb. A pretty rough assessment, because that's, you know, it's like unforgiving.
Well, didn't you, or weren't you the one who told us the story about how, are you allowed to tell this now that he's gone?
Oh.
Am I allowed to tell that story about the cue cards? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Can I hit the beats on this? all right. The cue card was, you know, when you host a TV show, you have to, for every market, they would have you, hey, I'm Jimmy Parr. I'm hosting National Lampoon's Funny Money. Please watch us 3 o'clock on channel 113 on Spectrum. Mm. And you then, okay, Jimmy, that's great. Atlanta, yeah. You know, through the alphabet, basically, you've got to do every, you know, market. And so Chuck is doing that for Lingo.
Right.
And the cue card is, you know, just, and you can watch us on, you know, every day at 3 o'clock on GSN on blank. And so he just starts reading that, and they went, oh, stop, Chuck. Say, hi, I'm Chuck Woolery. You have to say, you know, say, hi, I'm Chuck Woolery. Yep. I'm the host of Lingo. Watch us, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, you got to put it on the card.
Oh, God.
And they went, you got to put.
Hi, I'm Chuck Woolery.
Hi, I'm Chuck Woolery. Yes. So they have. So on the card, they put, hi, I'm CW. Thinking that would be helpful for him.
Oh, my God.
And he went, hi, I'm CW. And you're watching Chuck. The CW stands for Chuck Woolery.
They knew what they were doing. Absolutely did.
He is the dumbest.
Well, and that comes from just, again, not having to do anything for those years where you could just request it. Where it's like, no, I absolutely had to have everything spelled out for me. And then eventually, yes, it would make you dumb.
Yeah, the brain atrophies if you don't exercise it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's, yeah, but again, my interaction with him was very, very nice. Then he went whack job. I think I caused him to go whack job.
You pushed him over the edge.
Yeah, I called him Woolery all the time, and people would question if Chuck was okay with that. Chuck was all right with it.
Okay,
all right.
Yeah, what do you think, Woolery? It's like, are you allowed? Because they saw Chuck as the, you know, right. Chuck is we're the new game show guys. He's Chuck,
yes, he's
Woolery.
He's the old guard. Yeah. That's right.
He's
you got to give respect. Are you respecting him by calling
sure
Woolery?
Do.
Yes. He gets it. He's a person.
But he's dumb.
CW. Hi, I'm CW.
You're the dumbest fucking man alive.
Whatever. Hey, it's time for this.
Oh.
You go first, right, Matt?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There it is.
It's the letter game.
Oh, right.
Starting with the letter. The letter game. Hope my guess is better. You start with the letter.
It's the Never Not Funny. All right, Matt Belknap, you go first. You're trying to match last week's guest, Autumn Brewer. I'm trying to find it here on my telephone.
Mm-hmm.
She sent the list, and I've had to avoid that email for days on end.
Yeah.
Wait, there it is. 12-5 came in. Movies have been given.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Am I a father
you
to be?
Okay?
all right, well, I got to find my list, too. Matt, a drama that begins with the letter P. I've got five great ones here.
I know you do. You rubbed it in my face how many good ones there
are. I just found out about this. I want to be clear. And I have not Googled yet.
Oh, okay. You're really leaving it to the last minute.
No, I have three in my head.
Okay, good. I don't love any of mine, but so I'll just go with, this is, I think, maybe one of the best movies of last year, Past Lives.
You fucking fucker.
Oh, my God.
Says Garen. I don't give a shit. I would never react that way to somebody.
It's the only one you
have.
How could
that be the only
Wait,
one
what?
You have?
Oh, my Come God. On, Everybody had that one.
I have. Only because of who it is. If it was somebody in this room, I would have a different guess. Mm. But I'm going to say Platoon.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a big one.
But I'm guessing. Hang on. It looks like you've taken. Oh, my God. It looks like you've taken a hard fall.
What did you do? Were you banging your fist again?
That's what you're watching.
That's what I just did.
Yeah. Holy hell. I think it was me doing that.
Yeah, you pounded on the...
I've never gotten that one.
You were very angry.
Well, I've gotten the you're in a loud environment plenty of times.
I get that a lot.
Yeah. Does it give you an achievement like in a video game?
It should.
You got a little chip.
You've unlocked Stumblebum.
Wow. That's bananas. And then you don't want to press the wrong thing because it's an SOS call.
It might call,
right, exactly.
Yeah, call an ambulance.
You got the
EMTs.
Heat here. We can't have the heat here.
Can't have the heat here. We can't have Melissa McCarthy and Sandra Bullock here.
Good pull.
I just watched that movie the other day.
That's a fine movie.
Written by my dear friend Katie Dippold. Yeah.
Why is there no sequel? Maybe there will be.
No. Michael McDonald was also in that movie.
Yes, he was.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Jamie Denbo, actually.
Yeah. Everybody we mentioned is moved there.
Good cast.
It's good.
Holds up.
I don't think I've disliked a Melissa McCarthy movie.
I
wasn't
thought too long yes, about it. Oh dear!
You know what? There was those two that came out during the pandemic that were direct to Netflix.
She made a lot of hay when the sun was shining. Let's just
there
put it that
go.
Way.
Yeah.
And good for
amen.
Her.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, I agreed. No problem.
That's right. That's
make
right.
Some money.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, I don't think any risks were taken.
Oh, my God.
I think you're being far too.
The risk was I'm going to do a movie that I'm just going to make money on.
Yeah.
And people might think less of me afterwards.
But, I mean, whatever movie she's in, she's great.
Yes.
Whether
yes.
they're good or not, she always brings mm-hmm. Melissa McCarthy.
Agreed.
Listen, yeah. if Adam's allowed to make old guys 57, Melissa can make a bunch of movies too. You know?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you just said. What did you say before, Melissa?
I just don't remember what the movie is. What's they've done so many. Chris Rock and Adam, old guys, old dads, whatever else it's called.
Oh, Adam Sandler.
Fine. If he can make a million of those, then she can make two. This
absolutely.
Lady can make two.
Oh, absolutely. Right.
God
Wait, what
damn
is it. Called?
I don't know. What
the
is
friends,
it called?
The
old
friends.
Dads, old friends. Does it matter?
What just? Well, yeah. Why can none
Rob
of us
Schneider and friends?
Why can't none of us remember?
Because none of us went to see.
I'm friends with awful people. Is that what it's called?
Maybe it begins with P. No, I know it begins with old.
Is it old friends?
No,
it can't be.
I don't think it starts with old.
Maybe it isn't.
Something about a camp or a summer. Or
dad like, guys.
Best buds. Best old.
This is fantastic.
Reunion.
A bunch of old
we
dads.
Can't come up with.
It's a generic, super generic name.
Oh,
that's
God, it is. It's really exposing just how...
I keep wanting to say Funny People, which is a movie he was in, but
I was in
it's
that.
Not part of that. Oh, you are?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. Oh yes.
Please don't try to find me in it.
Is that a Judd Apatow?
Oh, yes. Yeah. It was a four-hour one.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I know.
Leave it all in.
Leave it all in, Judd.
It's all gold.
Grown-ups.
Grown-ups.
Grown-ups. Oh, you're right. It wasn't old.
Old-ups.
Grown-ups.
That's something to do with age.
Oh, God.
By the way, Judd, not at the improv holiday party last night. No Judd. No. Out of town. Can't make it.
Okay.
No Judd.
Sorry.
Very disappointed.
Oh.
People are very upset that Judd wasn't there.
Oh, God. Okay.
You know who else wasn't there? Me. I'm not going to that fucking
thing. Yeah, I was about to say, what, you went to this?
I read the RSVPs. I got a charge out of who wasn't going to show up. Because you don't leave a note if you're going.
Right.
And so I wanted to see everybody's excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was, ugh, can't make it. That's what I wrote.
Good one.
I couldn't, and I couldn't.
Because you had anything else to do?
I had that other thing.
Because you had your watch told you had a fall.
Safety first. I can't risk.
That's right.
I'm wobbly these days.
You screen cap that and you sent it. You're like, look, my watch is telling me.
You see, I can't
you
leave the
see,
house
I can't.
In this situation.
I couldn't possibly.
Garen. Oh, now it's to Garen. Sitting cross-legged on the floor. As Jimmy goes around the hall. Garen sucks. Hey, Garen, before we get to you, I have to open up this piece of mail because I believe it's time sensitive.
Hit that song.
But we're still doing the pee game, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Shouldn't call it that.
Nope. You nailed that one.
Because it's not. It's the letter game. I apologize.
Yep.
But now it's mail. And I'm intruding in Garen's time.
Up top,
my
one brother.
Time I have a lot to talk about.
I don't believe that at all. Nicole, I apologize for Garen's sex. Dear Jimmy and the gang, so every year I send some jingle jangle because you all seem to like it. You're my favorite podcast. And let's admit it, I'm a bit of a one-trick pony. Well, so are we. Every year I send it, I add on something about how much I love the show and that when times are bad, it's nice to have something to help act as a distraction. Well, we're certainly going to need that again. Sure, it'll be nice when I can just send this in with one word saying enjoy. You mentioned countless other fans who've reached out not only in the past month but over the years to express how this show has meant so much to them. It's meant so much more than just a comedy podcast, and I've been one of those for certain. I've had multiple conversations with each of you over the years at live shows and online. It's not just the quality of the show that means so much to me, but also the quality of your character. Once again, thank you for not only providing entertainment, but also solace and comfort when a lot of us need it. P.S. In addition to the usual tin of jingle jangle, I've included a couple of individual bags in case a guest or any of you want to take a little bit home.
Nice.
I've also included something for the Never Not Funny dogs. Thanks again, as always, Austin.
Thank you, Austin.
Austin, very nice. Very letter, nice. Austin. And of course, it's nice. Our pleasure to be here as a for your solace and comfort.
Have you seen? I had noticed that now Trader Joe's sells Jingle Jangle in like single serve bags,
that,
no. Which
oh,
is
really?
Wow. I think almost more dangerous.
It's sign of the times.
Yeah. Shrinkflation. Damn you, Joe Biden.
Here we go, Nicole.
Oh my God.
Elliot. Coming at you.
Whoa.
Never
going to get to me.
I went high because I want to break
a
camera.
Gary.
Oh, I had it.
Looks delicious.
It does. Thank jingly you. Jangly, it says.
Oh, hey, guess who doesn't
Everyone's
get a
Everyone's been struck in the head directly by these.
Guess who doesn't get one? Got it.
Oh, that was a good catch.
Uh-oh, wait a minute.
This is just 10 minutes later. This is just the podcast now.
Keep going.
It's just a game of catch. Oh! Wow, nice. That was almost absolute disaster.
Why would you put the drink there?
Oh, God.
What all is this?
I was putting it back to avoid that exact situation. Jingle, jingle.
Wow.
You can have that because I don't like this. Thank I don't like it. Yeah.
For your dog.
Oh, that was terrifying.
And Garen, for your dog.
Jingle jingle for dogs. Oh, my God. I've never heard of this.
Rolled it.
There it is. I got to see what that looks like. Oh, they're little pretzel biscuits. And...
Try one.
Yeah.
I'll just get a question.
John Schauble would.
Oops, he would.
Oh, yeah, get a close up on that. Yeah.
What do you think the difference is?
Well, they're dog treats. They're just in the shape of the jingle jingle.
Give it a try. Do you think the dog cares? Oh, look at it. It's festive.
They're beef pretzels.
My dog is very picky. It'll be interesting to see if he goes for those.
Garen, write down beef pretzels for my fantasy baseball team. Garen, what's going on over there?
Not much. Finished watching Ink Masters. Is anybody else? Are you watching it?
Yeah. So I don't think anybody else gives a shit. We're not the most anticlimactic ending in the history of reality television.
Yeah.
Hey, the guy that was the best from the second the show started won. What a surprise! Yeah. And by the way, not the best. The best.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Even his. Misses?
Even his misses?
Still like, I would wear that or to get that or
this
whatever.
Doesn't look so much like a lion. It doesn't?
No.
To me, it looks exactly like a lion. I would be proud to wear that tattoo. The guy was great.
How many seasons now? Because I used to watch it with my husband, but I didn't even realize it was still on.
It's on and it's better than ever. They've dropped
Dave Navarro still hosting?
No, he's gone.
Oh, he's gone.
They've got the guy from Good Charlotte now who is... the gaffer has more personality than he does. he's awful, and he's also awful.
Okay.
But they've dropped the toxic masculine energy that was on the show you can't pull a straight line, I'll fucking kick your ass.
God, it's a wild show.
Now they're at least starting to embrace the fact that, you know, these people draw.
Yeah.
So why aren't we treating it? We're treating it like with this weird motorcycle energy, instead of at the end of the day, they're cartoonists.
They're artists, yeah.
And so they finally are doing that. And so this season was really good.
Yeah.
And that woman, Kat, was the greatest competitor in my favorite of all time because she was full of joy.
Yeah.
And exactly what I was just talking about.
Yep.
And also, she was great.
Yeah.
She was never going to win. They were always going to put the father and son in the final two. That was always going to happen.
I feel like there was always someone named Kat. That was
there's a lot of cats.
Am I correct?
A lot of cats. The ultimate tattoo.
Pretty sure it's only four names of female tattoo artists.
Yes, I think you're right. And what I liked about her was she didn't have the energy that a lot of female tattoo artists have, where they're trying so hard to compete with the man that then they adopt that energy as well. And the casting's been better.
Yeah.
I think Navarro being gone, I love Dave Navarro as a host.
Mm-hmm.
Him being gone, losing those two fucking other idiots, Oliver and the other guy who apparently had some troubles behind the scenes. I think we're in good shape. We're in good shape for the future.
Yeah.
So you enjoyed it. I
did.
I answered all your questions.
Yes. It was a great season.
Great heart.
I watched it like that. I went through it.
Yeah.
And then I am on the Elsbeth train.
It's nice. Great, right?
Oh, yeah.
Here's what sold me. Yeah. I liked the first episode. Mm-hmm. Episode 2, when they introduced Jane Krakowski's character, that's all I took. When she turned around with that coat draped over her shoulder,
mm-hmm.
she's already inside, has been inside the building, turns around like she's on like she's Norma Desmond or something, flips the coat off, and then goes into her scene. This is the campiest...
Yeah,
queerest show.
It's really good.
It's so fun.
Did you
it's
want to
so
say silly. Nora Dunn? By the way, is that what you?
No, Nora Desmond. Isn't that?
No, no, I know. Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. But it sounded like you were about to say Nora Dunn.
No, I was going
to
say Norma Ray. Oh.
Wow,
that wasn't going to be quite. But it was great.
Yeah. We are only show. We're five episodes in on Elsbeth.
I didn't know it was two seasons.
We love it.
Yeah, it's great.
Our house loves it. It's really good.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Every week, the suspect is another actor you probably recognize getting a chance to chew some scenery. It's lovely.
It's mostly Broadway actors, too. This is like the next Good Wife, right? It's because all the Broadway actors get to sort of get in and do their thing.
Yeah, Orange is the New Black, same deal. Like all the New York actors.
Does it film in New York? Is that why?
It does, yeah. And I like that show, too. When I watched the pilot, it was funny, though, because there's like a grisly death, and I was like, I just know there's going to be a smash cut to someone quirky, and there she was like on the top of the bus, and I was like, Jesus Christ. But like, then I was like, yeah, it's great. She's great. great. Everyone's great. But it's like, it is funny. Like, I'm not, for whatever reason, I know a lot of white ladies love murder and crime and the podcast. I'm just not that person. I'm way too high anxiety and stressed for that. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting crisis at every turn. So I can't watch it. I don't want to, I'm not into that. But it is interesting, though, how like there are so many shows like that where it's like terrible, terrible murder, but then the soundtrack's like, doom, doom, doom.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. It's like, what's
how does
happening?
This curing work?
What is happening? Yeah,
just, it goes from like the
it's a magic combination.
Yeah.
And it works.
And it works.
And she's a delight.
She really is. Mm-hmm.
And you get to see, I don't know if you're there yet, you get to see the ageless Blair Underwood.
I've not gotten to Blair Underwood.
Yeah.
He is not aged.
Not at all.
He looks like he did an L.A. Law.
Yeah.
He was handsome.
He's aged a little bit. The point is he's handsome.
Yeah, I get it.
What was he just in? Long Legs.
He's in Long Legs.
Yeah.
And he's ageless in that as well. Him and Tim Daly. I don't know what freezer they hang out in, but it's working. Good Lord, are they handsome men. I see them on a plane. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Oh, my God.
I'd probably just keep walking, sit in my seat and do nothing.
Go back to the bathroom and drop those pants.
Wow.
Well, that's happening every flight. You know that. The Greg Fitzsimmons way. That's a bit. That's a comedy, a stand-up bit that he does.
Yes.
Garen, what's your past lives was taken? What are you going to land on?
Yeah, Matt kicked me in the nuts and took my answer. I'm going to go with Pleasantville.
Oh, that's a nice
Pleasantville
one.
From Autumn and her boyfriend Cole.
That's the tough thing.
I guess we didn't explain this. The person who we're trying to match, she was maybe late 20s.
No, we did explain.
He did. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if you covered the age thing. So
no, I didn't cover the age thing.
Very good.
Yeah, I think. I agree with you. Maybe that's a little before her time.
She's young. Cole's young.
She's young. There's no way she could possibly Google movies before her time. There's no way for her to find out.
No one's going back for Pleasantville.
Absolutely
no one needs to see that black and white with a splash of color thing happening.
And even if you are, you're not putting that on a list.
Yeah.
Not at number one, anyway.
Probably not.
And what if it is Pleasantville?
We all owe her.
Egg on my face.
Could Pleasantville, for a person who doesn't play our game regularly, maybe they might think it's sci-fi? Is it possible?
Guess what? It doesn't fucking matter. It
doesn't matter.
I'm allowing it.
Sure, sure.
Because it's not.
I do
kind of
see what you mean, though.
But I agree with you.
It's a bit fantastical.
Well, it's a fantasy, but I was wondering if it was actually comedy, but I don't remember it being.
It tried to be.
It tried to be, but it wasn't. Because it was making a point.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right? I mean, maybe we should get through all of them. I have another one on my list that I think you could call it a comedy, but you could also call it a drama. It's a dramedy. Like, I don't know how we parse that.
Well,
it's one of my favorites, so I wanted to say it. I didn't.
Well, let's just find out what everybody else says before reveal that. Let's hello to
you said the Vowel House last time.
The Vowel House.
But that doesn't
help
not
you.
A nickname.
He's
not
in
you.
He's in from the Vowel House. Yeah. It's Elliot Hochberg.
Yeah. Hello.
What's going on?
Anything
quick?
took Irma. Irma's my girlfriend. She's from Indonesia, and she's been here for almost 6 months now.
Doesn't like people. Doesn't like doing things.
That's correct. And I didn't take it as seriously as I ought to have.
Yeah, mark that down.
Oh my God, that's perfect.
So she wanted a haircut.
Oh,
so we arranged for a haircut. So as a man. Haircut has been over my lifetime anywhere from $15 to $40. And I don't know. I haven't gotten a haircut recently, but how much?
They're at 40 minimum, basically.
Right.
God.
Mm-hmm. How much does a haircut and just like basic dye
well,
job?
Nicole will know more about this.
I was going to say, you're talking about for your girlfriend or for you?
For my girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. No, it's ridiculous. So
110?
If you're lucky. That's low. Are you talking about, you're talking cut and color?
Cut and color.
Cut and color. No, it would be more than that, especially if you're going to a place here in LA.
112?
I would say no less than 150, 175.
Okay.
Should you go somewhere super or somewhere fantastic?
Yeah, any of those places.
Like Sam's or Cuts?
Or something that has like a
there was a name involved, but it's not a name you would recognize.
Fabulous Jim's. Don't trust it.
Don't trust it.
Probably shouldn't.
It's in a van, too, which is just, they drive you.
I'll take a mobile haircut.
Sure, why not? They've got all the equipment.
They come to me?
There's a truck in my neighborhood that's, the back of it is just a glass box, basically.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
And it drives around, and then it parks in places. And the whole thing is like, hey, we can do hair and makeup on a set if you're doing an indie shoot or whatever. And like, they kind of advertise there's like a QR code that you're supposed to scan when you see it. I'm like,
no, that's not a thing. They're spies.
I'm not hiring those people.
Absolutely not.
I don't want anybody looking at me while they're
poking and prodding me and cutting me and so forth.
Right. Why make it so open? I mean, I guess the light, but that seems problematic too. It's like, why?
Natural lighting.
Yeah. I don't know if that helps or hurts.
I'm upset by that story.
It does sound like somebody ought to follow the lead of the mobile pet groomer and do mobile human groomer.
Well, certainly during the pandemic, it should have happened.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
All right. Well, how much was it?
So without tip.
Okay.
$210.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly right. He said without tip. Yeah.
Oof. Mm-hmm. And then $40 for the tip?
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yep.
Damn. Did she do a nice job? And Irma was very happy, so it was worthwhile.
Good for her. Congratulations to Irma.
Possible to be a lady.
That is rough.
Anyway,
it's a gut punch.
Yeah. I think you need to go to salon school, Elliot. Save some money.
It's not a bad idea.
I did manage to cut my hair with clippers in a way that didn't make me look like I cut my hair with clippers. So
this
there's
time?
That.
So does she? Maybe she wants a buzz cut.
Yeah, no. This is the shortest she's ever had her hair. Actually, turns out
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. So that was fun yesterday.
All right. Well, what's your P movie guess?
Well, let's see. So one of them was taken. So I'm going to go with. Oh, what the heck? Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction. Oh,
now
that's
that
a good one.
Is a good one.
Wow.
I feel like that's the
How
one
did
to
you
beat.
Miss on that?
I don't know. That's my problem. It's like you with like not thinking to go to Target when it's like so close to where you live.
Yeah.
That's an old movie, we're guessing that she would know that because it's
but
big.
She's,
but
she's asking her boyfriend though.
Kind of a classic.
Yeah. Yeah. She's got a straight boyfriend.
I mean, Pulp Fiction likes movies.
Yeah.
It's Godfather. It's a movie
right.
you think of.
It's in
It's Godfather, my Chicago accent. Horrible. What is your guess, Nicole?
Well, now that he just said that, especially about her boyfriend, but I guess I was thinking outside of the box and I was trying to think of a very well-known, absolutely unequivocally not a comedy movie that begins with P, and I thought Philadelphia.
Sure.
That was my number one choice, but I don't think these kids are going to think of it.
I think that Pulp Fiction's a very good guess.
I do, too.
So the one that I was, before we get to what the fans, because also our fans go online and they try to guess too. But what is your ruling on Parenthood?
Well, one of my top 10 favorite movies
That's
of all
what I'm
time.
Saying.
Absolutely
it's
fantastic.
I think it's a drama.
It's dramatic.
I mean, but it's funniness. Both, but I mean, my God. And it's, have children, it's even better.
Mm-hmm. You have Steve Martin as the lead, right?
Yeah.
So you have Steve Martin
ensemble,
there.
Though.
Yeah. But he's the guy in the poster.
But it's Rick Moranis.
But the goddamn
Robards storyline with Tom Hulce.
Tom Hulce
is
heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. There's no comedy in that at all.
Awful.
Well, the thing with Steve Martin's son is difficult, too. His son has some learning disability or something. Or whatever's going on with them.
Keanu's in there somewhere too, right?
Keanu's in there.
One of the funniest bits. I mean, it's just I mean, can this be a Parenthood podcast?
Speaking of haircuts,
we could talk about it all day.
He cuts Martha Plimpton's hair.
Oh right,
he does.
Causes a lot of trouble in the Weast household.
That's right.
I don't know their character names.
Great Diane Buckman.
Her name is Julie.
The show was Braverman.
So it is Buckman.
So it might have been.
It is Buckman. Yeah, Buckman.
Yeah, good call.
I also wrote down Psycho, but I think I wrote this down saying drama.
Look at you guys thinking of movies that don't have a hard piece. Yeah. I'm very impressed.
Pan's
I could never
Labyrinth.
I had that, but I thought that's fantasy.
Panic Room. That's what it is.
Made this
it's
early.
Panic Room.
Panic Room.
Panic Room's a good one.
That's a good movie, actually.
Good.
What else you got?
The great, Philadelphia, Poseidon Adventure.
Oh, very good. I have Passion of the Christ.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a good movie. Yeah. It's not good, but I liked it.
It's definitely a drama.
I thought that was a documentary.
It felt like one, my man. Died for our sins.
You think that's listed as a docudrama?
For some weirdo, probably.
I like that guy, Mel Gibson.
Cool.
Dude. What do you got, Elliot?
You want to do this, right?
Yeah, fans.
You don't win money. Mm-mm. You don't get fame.
No, sir.
You don't get nothing when you match his name. First on the winner. Obscure sometimes.
Wait, where's I lost your email. There it is.
What do fans think?
All right, give us the fans. Now, these are the fans trying to match as well.
Yes.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I will let the fans know that you did this before we decided no horror sci-fi. I will skip those.
Thank you, Elliot.
Point Break.
Oh.
Another Keanu.
Yeah.
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 Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor.
Ooh.
Unwatchable.
Indeed.
Pretty the bad. Drama was watching it. Passion of the Christ.
All right.
The Poseidon Adventure.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Platoon.
A lot of boats.
Yeah.
A lot of boats.
Yeah.
True.
Did I say Platoon?
And
I
they go
platoon.
Hand. Boats and drama go hand in hand.
They do.
Yeah. So I'm going to add Pig in here because now I need to ask you, because that was the old Paddington 2?
I thought of that. I thought those are comedies to me.
Yeah. I think they're feel-good
children's
movies.
Films. That's a whole separate category.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they're not strictly comedy, really.
No, but I think at the end of the day, they're feel-good films.
Yeah.
That is not,
and that's not,
not,
a
not
drama.
Drama.
Not a drama, yeah.
All right. So then we go to Paris, Texas.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Philadelphia.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh.
And number one, Pulp Fiction.
There it is.
All right. Let's find out. Let's go to Autumn Brewer's email. I was set in again. This came in on the 5th of December.
Remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you the time. 8:54 p.m.
This Thank you for that. Thank
email.
You for the time.
Okay.
All right. Scrolling
Information
down.
We could have used before.
Yeah. Can I change my answer now?
Number five, Phantom Thread.
Okay.
Oh, she listed five? Like her top five?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Phantom Thread.
Good pull. With the great Dan Day-Lewis.
Good pull. Yeah. Good pull. But that makes me feel good about my past lives pick.
And, you know, there's a PH right off the bat.
Yeah, I'm also
see the
still,
odds
still
shifting.
It's going to be Phantom Thread, Phantom of the Opera, Philadelphia.
Yeah, all PHs.
Fish Tour. I don't know. Is that a movie?
Yeah.
I'm going to end that, premise right here. Pay It Forward.
Oh,
nice.
Okay.
That's a good movie. Kevin
Number three, Philadelphia.
Wow.
You're out.
Okay. Yeah.
No money.
It's a quick
Number
celebration.
Two, the great movie Promising Young.
What now?
Promising Young Woman.
Promising Young Woman. That's got to be.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah.
Yep. Didn't scroll enough.
That's a good pick.
And number one, we do have a winner.
Oh.
And it's the one that we all expected to be. Mm-hmm. Pulp Fiction.
Hey.
Nice. Well done.
Good for you, Elliot.
Now I have Q.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's on there's, you for Q.
There's probably Qs, though, right?
Got a bunch, yep.
Wow, there really is cash in the coffee can.
There really is cash in the coffee can.
It's great.
Don't steal it. I know you're thinking about a heist.
I am.
The real winner is Autumn Brewer for not having to think of another one.
Yeah, she's done.
Yeah.
She's done.
One and done.
Goes on to you with the
Q.
All I remember from the movie Pay It Forward is the trailer where Helen Hunt goes, I don't care about your burns, Elliot. That's all I remember.
What a great
I don't remember that even.
I wish I remembered that. That's
is that,
hilarious.
Is that Kevin Spacey too?
Yes, yes, it is. Yes. Yeah.
He's a good guy. He loves
Oh,
Joel
Lord. Oh Lord.
Yeah. Haley Joel Osment.
You must get killed on quotes taken out of context from this podcast.
I could be.
Jimmy Pardo breaks the silence on Kevin Spacey.
Great guy. All right. What do we got? We got to pay Elliot here.
Yeah.
We're gonna count to five by fives. Basically, you're just gonna go and five. All right, here we go. You ready?
I've designed this to, much like a firework, it's going to open up in the sky.
Oh, wow.
As it travels. Yeah, it's a tight little thing that
we learned the spear worked very well last time.
I don't care. Okay. I just like I try different things.
I don't think this is going to explode. I don't think it's going to do what you
And five. Oh, no, it hit the back of the monitor.
That didn't do anything.
Shade.
And now it's behind the shroud.
No,
it's lost forever.
Okay, well.
Yeah,
it's it hit the monitor and then bounced into the...
Dear, that's a shame.
That'll take me some time.
Well, you'll find it. Or you never
I
will.
I apologize.
Wow.
When we move studios, you'll find it.
You know, I think I had in my head the way Jimmy overthrew the Jingle Jangle to you, and I didn't want to make the same mistake, and I underthrew it as a result.
That Jingle Jangle got away from me. Yeah. A little bit. It had more weight to it than I thought it did when I... went to throw it.
It's a healthy portion. I would say maybe too much Jingle Jangle.
I would say there's two servings in there.
Yeah, too much for one helping.
Yeah, because you're not opening that on a car ride and then going, oh, I'm done with having it. I'll save more for later.
Yeah, no, you're not putting a chip clip on this thing.
No.
Yeah.
It's interesting because usually, you know, like we're also accustomed to, like, when you see a bag of Lay's this size, there's like four Lay's inside of it.
Oh, God. This is like, yeah, most of it's air.
This is like really.
We've actually dropped the ball here. They're not called Jingle Jangle in the bag. They're called.
Oh.
Jingly Jangly.
Jingly Jangly.
Jangly.
Mm-hmm.
They mix it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A fun mix of fan favorite candy treats.
Well, I'm going to eat mine on the way home. I can't wait.
I'm going to eat mine all the way to my next podcast.
Are you heading to one as we speak?
We're doing our last one for Neighborhood Listen.
Oh, wonderful. Where do you guys record that?
At Brett's house in Altadena, because that's where he's got all his equipment. Mm-hmm. So you get to actually have a lovely drive up the hill. In fact, they ended up living out like an actual Neighborhood Listen post, and Tortoise wandered into their yard. And they tried to find its home for months. And then they named it Paul, after Paul, of course, and then found out it was a girl. Now it's Pauline. Oh. And to be honest, it's like guests love coming and like meeting her because she's awesome. And also they have this big sort of sliding glass door. And our guest always faces with their back to it, and then Pauline will just do a comic take, and we'll just appear in the background always during Love a recording, it. Just slowly walking. It's the best.
Love it.
She's great. She's our mascot.
Neighborhood Watch is not the name of it.
Listen.
Listen is the name of the podcast.
You know, because podcast. Haha.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
It's a twist. Alton's
getting a lot of play lately.
Yeah.
Really? See, look, he's having a moment.
Our last guest was somebody, one of our recent guests was from there.
I thought it was someone we met. I met someone at a party on Saturday that I think was living in Altadena.
That is, no, I'm on this show, it's getting a lot of play. A recent guest lives there.
It's a nice area.
Ariana, who listens, is from there. Yes. And then there was a third Altadena.
Oh.
I guess that's what I was saying. I was thinking maybe you met this person too.
It's not that.
Okay.
It is three people that were on this program.
Interesting.
That were on it.
Well, Ariana called in.
Ariana Grande called in.
Yes. And said, "Where is my sandwich?" And they're keeping it from her.
Yeah, it's sad.
They're not letting that poor woman eat.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Girl. Well, listen.
She's very talented.
She's under a microscope too much.
Amazingly talented.
Yeah. I did a show with her brother, Sweet Man.
Oh. Wow, that sentence ended differently than I thought.
Hey, he is. Yeah,
I did a show with her, and then the pause was too long before brother. I did a show with her, brother, and it was great.
Is that what I did? Oh, yeah. I didn't mean to tease it out.
Yeah, it was a tease.
Oh, I didn't mean to do that. No, I really didn't.
What was the show?
Sorry. Should I go?
We're ending anyway.
I failed the tease test. Say again?
What was the show?
Oh, there's a show called Titanic that's in New York right now. Yeah. And it's basically a gay Fantasia fever dream that is a spoof of the movie Titanic. But Celine Dion herself appears and imagines that she was in the movie and narrates it. And that's all Celine Dion music. And I played Celine.
Oh.
And Frankie played... What I love is they have condensed the characters of Victor Garber's, you know, Andrews. He played the architect and the captain in the movie. And they just call him Victor Garber, literally, in the show. And he did this amazing tap dance because he's singing I Drove All Night while he's speeding the boat up and hits the iceberg. So, he's great.
I Drove All Night, the Cyndi Lauper song? Is that the...
No, that's a Celine Dion song.
I think it's. I think it's Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah. Well, now I feel the fool. I didn't know there was a Cyndi Lauper song. Forgive me.
She had
Cyndi.
A hit with it.
Wow. I'm going to go listen to that.
Multiple covers of that because isn't. I don't know.
Maybe really?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know who I'm thinking
Garen,
of.
You got confirmation?
that it's a Cyndi Lauper song?
Yeah.
I can confirm that.
Incredible. All right. Well, thank you for the education.
Happy to help.
Yeah.
Were you in that in New York or?
I did it in New York. My friend Marla and Connie Rasulli, they wrote the show and then she was leaving last summer and then I came in and replaced her. And then I just did it again in the winter. And that's when Frankie was doing it.
I want that show here. So
I think it's the last place it's going to come. It's in Australia now. It's in Toronto and Quebec. It's in London and it's going to be in Chicago.
Come on. Why do people think that LA doesn't want these things?
I think it's hard to find the space. I think it's hard to find the theater. And I think people just are like afraid to do theater in LA because guess what? It's not really a great venture sometimes.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Good luck on your drive to Altadena.
It's going to be great.
Say hello to everybody over there for us.
I will, including the tortoise.
Yes, Paulina needs to get involved in the conversation. Yes. No question about it. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for supporting the program. Certainly do appreciate it. That's it. We're done. On behalf of the Pop Culture Beats, look over there. There's Garen Cockrell behind Video Village. That's Indo, Elliot Hoper, the honcho Matt Belknap, and our friend Nicole Parker. I'm Jimmy Pardo. We'll see you next time on the podcast. AK-47, Gone, Not Forgotten.